Hawks win!
Chicago Sports Conversation is now. The Beat on 720 WGN.
So excited to be here. Happy Saturday. It's not cold outside. It's not cold. You feel good. You're having a great weekend. Summer is right around the corner. Right, Kevin Powell?
That's right, at the Carm.
Thank you.
Really not that bad out today, to be honest.
I mean,
it's in the teens, which is basically, you know, compared to what we've been dealing with the past few days, not all that bad.
I thought it was a great morning to walk outside and just feel the nice crispness of the...
You play tennis today?
No, no ten. We got a little match Monday night, though.
Taking on Will
Ferguson Monday night.
Strong backhand or forehand guy?
Will's good. He's good on both sides.
Good balance.
Yeah, just a good overall solid player. Just a guy that you got to come ready to play.
You got to expose him, expose his weaknesses, Carm. Get to the net, power it down. I'm not exactly sure what that means in tennis, but battle through there, Carm.
Well, the thing with Will is you got to vary your pace. If you sit there and play one way, Will's going to take you apart. But if you're a little, you know, if you can bring the heat every now and then do a little dink and dunk, the next thing you know, Ferguson's going to be on
dunk.
The run. Right.
Greatest tennis player of all time, go.
Oh, just Roger Federer all day. Rafi Nadal in the mix. Djokovic has a shot at.
Djokovic is there, right? He's lingering.
Right now, the best players that have ever played the game are playing. Can we do 4 hours on tennis today?
Can we get an American dominant tennis player besides at the Carm?
Agassi won all four majors. That's about as.
With a wig on.
I loved Agassi. 312-981-7200. Let's talk tennis. Okay.
Do you get seasonal depression?
No, I don't. But
Lucky you.
I do get... The best day of the year for me, Kevin, is spring forward, when we get to March and we actually have the spring forward moment and we know that we made it. It's a celebration.
Right.
I like to give a big fist pump and hug everybody that I know that day. And the worst day of the year is fallback.
When we
fall back and we know that we're going into it, that's a rough moment.
Least favorite part of winter is the short days and the long nights.
I like a sunlight. I need a like today's
big sunlight guy.
Yeah, I'd rather have it be cloudy and 40 than sunny and what it is today. Mm-hmm. But I need some sun.
Yeah.
So you had something you wanted to throw at me at the start of the show?
That was at the seasonal depression.
Oh, the seasonal.
I thought that could spawn a longer conversation, but you didn't seem that interested in it.
Out of nowhere, you just dropped me a seasonal depression. Do you think that I'm seasonally depressed?
The reason I'm bringing it up is because the NFL playoffs are here and the college football playoffs have arrived, and every time this time of year I start to, rather than get excited about the postseason play and all the great matchups, I get depressed
because the Bears aren't in it.
Not because the Bears aren't, because the football season is coming
to an end.
Big football guy, Carm.
I know it.
I start to, the seasonal depression on top of everything, that the darkness, the cold, is that the NFL playoffs are ending,
right?
The NFL season is ending, college football is ending.
I feel you.
Now I have to watch 500 mediocre Chicago Bulls through the winter. Thank God for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Okay, let me give you two things there before I dive into your footballness. Number one, I want to give congratulations to the Northwestern Wildcats, who had a great win beating Pitt in the Pinstripe Bowl. And I was out at Cat Basketball on Thursday, which was a
heartbreaker.
It's a terrible loss.
When you miss your first 14 three-point attempts to start the second half, that's not going to bode well for you.
That was not good. That was very disappointing, and it was a game that
those are the games they need to win.
They do.
If they want to go dancing this month.
Long season, and they're at Nebraska tomorrow, 1:15 right here on 720 WGN. Dave Ennett, Joey Meyer on the call. So, long way to go, but that was a bad loss. But what I'm talking about is at halftime at the Cat game, nearly sold out Welsh Ryan Arena.
Yeah, it was a rowdy crowd, huh?
Yeah, mostly purple. It was the first time that I was at a Cat game where the intros, like, there was a decent amount of people actually standing for the intros, and there was a nice feeling, and there was, you know, a bunch of times where the crowd actually felt like a real solid
props
crowd.
Props to Chris Collins. He's brought some energy to the program.
There's no doubt. So, but at halftime, the Cat football team comes out there, and they got the Pinstripe Bowl trophy, and it was just awesome. It was such a cool moment for them, and Fitz was in attendance as well. For a moment, he stopped by the Dave Ennett press box, which is only at football, but should be at basketball, too. There should be like a car cop. So he just came by and said hello, and I said, congratulations. Don't congratulate me. Congratulate the kids. And then all of them were there.
I love Fitz.
He's the man. Talked to Anthony Walker Jr., who declared.
Phenomenal football player.
Right?
Where is he projected? Have they given projections on him yet?
Second to fifth round is what he said at halftime.
Maybe the only knock, a little undersized, Carm? Maybe a pinch?
A pinch undersized.
Good speed, though?
I think a pinch on the speed as well.
He's a good football player, though.
Yeah, and he graduated, and he wants to fulfill his dream, and who knows?
Correct me if I'm wrong, Carm, the first player ever to leave early and declare for the draft under Pat Fitzgerald.
I believe that is correct. It was
Well, and they have a running back that'll likely get drafted next year. Justin Jackson's coming back, and he is electric. Well, he was phenomenal in the Pinstripe Bowl. And speaking of the Pinstripe Bowl, Carm, we were talking about this earlier. The Wrigley Bowl? What are they going to call it?
I love the Wrigley Bowl. I am pro bowl game at Wrigley Field. That's like long overdue. The Cubs were sleeping on that. Don't let the Yankees jump out in front of you with the Pinstripe Bowl.
Yankees all over it. This is now year 7 of the Pinstripe Bowl. Where's everybody else?
I would call it the Cubby.
Where's Boston with this?
Right.
Where's Fenway?
Cubby Bowl.
The Cubby Bowl?
No.
That's soft.
Clark the Cub Bowl?
The play the same direction bowl?
312-981-7200. What should the bowl game at Wrigley Field be called? I think it will debut roughly 2020.
Play the same direction bowl. Remember U of I Cats? 2010. What are they going to do with that situation? They've addressed that, correct? That it has something to do with the dugouts, and they can sort of fudge it up a little bit to create enough room where they don't have to play the same direction. Remember how outrageous that was? It was like the day before the game. They're like, oh, we got an issue here, guys. There's about 6 inches between the back of the end zone and the brick wall in right field.
Now, that wasn't ideal. But
Not ideal.
I think they did figure something
Helmet
out.
Helmet to the brick wall, not a good look for football players and Wrigley Field. The Goat Bowl, 630 is chiming in.
How about the Three-Peat Bowl? Because that's where we're headed.
The 108?
The Cubs are winning it again this year, right?
Yeah.
Convention coming up next weekend.
You going to go every day?
I will be there at some point in time, I would think.
By the way, I've heard talks that there is a waiting list now for Cubs spring training season tickets. The Cubs fandom is unreal. When I was at spring training last year, this was before they won it. The excitement obviously building before the year even started. Tailgaters for hours before spring training games. People scalping spring training tickets
Hogue,
for the Cubs.
Hogue was down there. It was either last spring or the spring before, and he was paying like $40 a ticket for spring
training.
I'm like, no, I'm not. I wouldn't.
But it's a good mirror to what goes on here in Chicago, because then I go to drive out to Glendale and go to Camelback to catch a Sox spring training game, and there's like,
they're paying you to come in.
Right. It's like,
we got free hot dogs.
At least you can get a Dodger dog there, because it's a shared complex with the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Dodger dog.
Not a big Dodger dog.
Right.
But I probably had about 7 or 8 of them when I was out there when the Cubs were playing in the NLDS.
It's all right. All right. We got a ton to do on the show today. Vincent Goodwill, Comcast Sportsnet will be with us to talk Bulls at 4:10. Scott Powers will talk some NHL hockey.
Scott King.
Did I say Scott Powers?
Last time I hosted with you on the show, we had Scott King scheduled, and you said Scott Powers at least 12 times.
Scott King will be with us. Thank you. At 5:35. I blame myself. There is no one else to blame. Scott King, very much looking forward to talking to Scott King.
Is the Vertoram leaving his film lair and coming on to talk NFL playoffs?
So that's the thing. We're going to start with a little NFL playoffs today.
Maybe one of my favorite NFL reporters, commentators, whatever you want to call him, Matt Vertoram, your comrade over at the Fansided.
Yeah, he's going to be with us at 3:35 as we give you a little view at the old NFL playoffs. You got Detroit playing with Seattle later tonight, and then you got Green Bay going against the New York Giants tomorrow. Anybody feeling a loyalty to the NFC North? NFC North loyalty.
I don't know why you would have loyalty to other teams in the NFC North. But if you want it to, make yourself feel better about the Bears sucking, that's fine. Root for the Lions and the Packers this weekend.
When we come back, the Bears sucking was a huge story this week with Ryan Pace, their general manager, speaking. John Fox was sitting there too and said something. And, of course, George McCaskey speaking. So we have picked out our favorite sound bites, and we're going to do that coming straight back here. 720 WGN.
To the Bears fans that I talk to, in the parking lots, tailgating, and the seats and so forth, they were telling me, hang in there. It's going to get better. We like your general manager. We like your coach. And like everybody else, they want more wins. They deserve more wins.
That may be the saddest soundbite in the history of Chicago sports. Honestly, think about that. The owner.
I just envisioned George McCaskey in the tailgating lot near Soldier Field talking to the Bill Swirsky super fans. George, hang in there. You want a sausage?
Yeah, it's so sad. You're the owner of the team. You're the parent, so to speak. You're walking through the lot, and all the kids are saying, "It's gonna be okay.
It's gonna be okay, George. Hang in there.
Don't worry about it. You're the worst parent ever. You're a complete embarrassment. The team won 3 games. We've never won 3 games ever in a 16-game season. It's the worst we've ever done."
George McCaskey slouched over, head sloping down, kicking a beer can through the lot. Bill Swirsky putting his arm around his shoulder. Hang in there, George. We're right there.
We love you, George. By the way,
just made that up anyway. I mean, really? Yeah. Which Bears fan is telling him they like Ryan Pace and John Fox?
Can I get? Well, George likes Ryan Pace and John Fox. Can I get that soundbite, Dan Long? By the way, it's The Beat. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Kevin Powell. 720 WGN. Good to have you along. Hope you're having a great weekend. George likes his general manager. George likes his coach.
With all the adversity that we've had, I like the steady hand that he and John have had on the team. These guys fought for each other all season. They never pointed fingers, and I think that's a credit to the type of player that we have. I think it's also a credit to John and his coaching staff for keeping them together.
George, maybe they should point some fingers. And by the way, they did point some fingers. There was this thing in the middle of the year with the defensive coordinator Vic Fangio and the head coach John Fox, where they had to dispel a national story how Fangio was leaving because he wasn't getting along with the head coach. Do you remember that, Kevin? I seem to remember that.
Accountability. A giant lack of with the Chicago Bears. Dow Loggins should have been fired yesterday. He should have been fired during the season. One of the worst offensive coordinators I've ever seen in my entire life. The play calling's atrocious. You have Jordan Howard, the lone bright spot, really, on the entire offense. Cam Meredith in there as well for the bird. There's no reason whatsoever you're not handing the ball off to Jordan Howard 20-plus times a game. John Fox will likely tell you that, we were down late. We had to pass the ball. We couldn't run it. Well, then he also contradicts himself and likes to talk about how they were in every game and games were close and they were a few plays away and they could have won those games. Well, if that's the case, why aren't you handing the ball to Jordan Howard, especially near the goal line when you have quarterbacks that can't make throws like Matt Barkley, a lack of arm strength, decision-making horrible. I mean, it's just awful. Vic Fangio has done a nice job at the defense for what he's worked with. Dow Loggins is way over his head.
I like Vic Fangio. This was John Fox, by the way, on your OC, Dow Loggins.
Are we there yet? No. All right, but I don't think it's play calling and design issues. It's just being able to remain consistent in our performance, and with that comes a lot of different stuff.
Well, okay.
What does that mean? Hold on.
Let's look at it from an objective talent perspective for 1 second. I like the running back. I think everybody likes the running back.
He's good. He's not anybody you're going to get super excited about. For the most part, you can get a running back like that in every draft. He's good. There's excitement there.
I think he's excellent at seeing the hole, stringing out plays, finding whatever is
yards after contact. He stays on his feet, always falling forward. I love the way he runs the ball.
I mean, it's an incredible fifth round pick. Congratulations, Ryan Pace. Great job. Very optimistic on Jordan Howard. So, okay.
He's a running back. They don't win Super Bowls. Right. Not even close.
I mean, what Fox is saying there, though, basically, is that, look, man, let's read between the lines here. Look, man, the talent sucks. Matt Barkley is great 1 week. He throws 5 interceptions the next week. Jay Cutler, same thing, by the way. Looks great, doesn't look great. How am I supposed to win with Alshon Jeffrey when he's on the field, he's off the field? By the way, Kevin White was a first-round pick. He's played 4 games. I got a wide receiver who can't catch in Joshua Bellamy. Sometimes he does, then we look good. When he doesn't, we look terrible.
Well, John Fox and Ryan Pace continued to talk about all the injuries that piled up and how that hampered the season. But then they also said, well, injuries aren't an excuse.
But that's like programming, right? Like that's like some...
Exactly. I mean, John, during that press conference, it was annoying, to be honest. John Fox is sitting there just throwing out football cliches left, right. You got to see it to believe it, guys. Like cutting off Ryan Pace. Like, who's in charge here? Ryan Pace or John Fox?
Let's get one more John Fox here. Dan Lunk picking any John Fox is always so exciting. I love John Fox. You know why I love John Fox? Because he's consistent. He consistently says absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Well, and this is actually sort of a good segue to our conversation we're going to have later, Carm, about the media press box situation that we talked about with John a little bit. The beat reporter getting booted out of the press box. The relationship between teams in sports and reporters is, I mean, it's unbelievable, to be honest. To be a head coach in any league now, particularly the NFL, you have to be part politician.
Sure.
I mean, that's all it is now. It's just politicking to the media. They don't say anything, which I don't really blame them. I mean, in their defense, why should they give anybody any sort of ammunition or reveal anything? But to be dishonest and to be delusional about your team, John Fox, it's frustrating, I think, for everybody, particularly the Bears fans.
Well, there's a way to do it, right? There's this guy that manages the Chicago Cubs who won a World Series, and he tells you stuff, and he doesn't tell you stuff.
I love Joe Maddon.
I mean, how hard is it to follow that formula? But this is what you get from this will be the last soundbite of John Fox from this press conference, but just one more for something. Go ahead.
You know, really on the season, you know, obviously 3-13, is not acceptable. The buck stops here. I think there's no doubt that, coming off of 6-10, we had higher aspirations.
That's ridiculous, too. Coming off of 6-10, like it was an accomplishment. Coming off that 6-10, man, we had some high expectations. When we went 6-10 last year, we knew we were on the right path.
Man, 6-10 doesn't sound all that bad.
When we were 6-10, man, we were building something. We didn't think we were going to regress to 3-13.
Bears have a lot of holes. A whole lot of holes on their roster. The biggest one, obviously, the quarterback position, the most important position in all of sports, which is the quarterback. And Ryan Pace, when he came here to Chicago, he said, ideally, you draft a quarterback every year. He's talked about it. He knows, and he said it's critical this offseason, the quarterback position. And I think what he was saying for the team and for his job, if they don't figure something out of the quarterback position, he should be gone.
312 texting, Barkley should be continually developed.
No, he shouldn't. He's horrible. He doesn't have the arm strength. His decision-making is terrible. He throws into triple coverage left and right, and his arm strength can't make up for those horrible decision-making abilities he has. He's not worth – you keep him around, fine. He's not good, though. He's not going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I don't hate the arm strength.
Arm strength's horrible. He's throwing lobs out there.
He throws the occasional lob. I don't know. I can't make up my mind on Matt Barkley.
But I love this. Matt Barkley, because he shows fire and grit or whatever perceived idea you want to think Matt Barkley is all about. And then Jay Cutler throws 5 picks. My God. The city burns when Jay Cutler throws 5 pick. He's horrible. Look at him on the sideline. He doesn't even care. Well, Matt Barkley, look, he looks fired up on the sideline, everybody. Let's give him a shot. He looks like he's got a lot of energy out there, guys.
I like a sideline fire. Give me some sideline fire.
Yeah, give me some sideline fire, and then go throw 5 picks, Matt Barkley. You do that.
You never got on the Barkley bandwagon?
No. When he was the first few games, yeah, I was like, I wasn't jumping on the – that's the thing with Bears fans is any sort of glimmer of hope with any quarterback – people are buying jerseys. I mean, people are on that train right away. But that's because that's how horrible the quarterback play has been with the Chicago Bears. So any sort of little glimmer of hope, people get all excited. But when you break it down and you look at what Matt Barkley is, he's not a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I was driving that train. I was driving that bandwagon.
I was excited about it for a little bit. And then he throws 5 picks and he throws in a triple coverage.
Still learning. Bring him back. Or just find a real good quarterback, one of the two. All right, quick timeout. Matt Verder and Fanside will preview today's NFL playoffs tomorrow as well. 720 WGN. 720 WGN, indeed. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Kevin Powell with you till 7 tonight. Hope you're having a great weekend. 3:36 and a beautiful Saturday. Don't mind the cold. It's all in your head. It's not cold outside. It's beautiful.
You excited about the NFL playoffs?
I am. They are getting underway as we speak. The Texans and the Oakland Raiders. Let's bring in our guy, Matt Verderam, Fan-Sided, NFL insider. Good afternoon, Verderam. My question for you to start out here is, who are the wild card teams? Who do you think that's playing this weekend? Green Bay, the Giants, the Texans. I don't need to name everybody. Who do you think has a chance to actually maybe make a deep run, get to the Super Bowl?
Hey,
Hang on a second, Verderam. Hang on. We have technical difficulties.
Classic technical difficulties because Carm didn't have you potted up, Verderam.
Hit the prod button, not the phone button. Verderam, answer that question, please. My bad.
Okay, no problem, guys. How you doing? I think Green Bay and New York is the best game of the weekend, and I think whoever wins that game can make a real run toward the Super Bowl. I think the winner of that game is the only team out of this weekend that can legitimately get there. I know a lot of people love Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh's road is brutal. I think the Steelers probably win this weekend, but then they would go to Kansas City. Even if they got through that game, they'd have to go to New England. I don't think they'll win both those games. They may not even win the first one.
Matt, yeah, the Giants-Packer game sticks out to me. I'm also sort of interested in this Lions-Seahawks game because the Seattle is Earl Thomas-less, if that makes sense, out with the broken leg. The Lions are only going to win if Matthew Stafford tears it up through the air, correct? I mean, they really can't run the ball, especially against the Seattle defense.
They can't run the ball. Zach Jenner has given him a little pop the last couple of weeks, but I don't expect him to do a ton against that Seahawks front seven, which gets overlooked, really, because of the secondary. But you're right about Earl Thomas. That's a huge loss. He's somebody who can go sideline to sideline, probably the best free safety in the NFL. And without him, the Lions should have some success throwing the ball. The question to me in this game is, can Detroit's front seven get some pressure on Russell Wilson, get some sacks? Because Seattle has no offensive line. That offensive line is arguably the worst in the NFL. But the Seahawks have been able to survive with it. If the Lions want to pull off the upset, which, by the way, would be their first road playoff win since 1957, they're going to have to do it by getting pressure and hitting Wilson early and often.
Seattle hasn't picked the ball off since Earl Thomas went down with that leg injury, by the way.
Hey, game going on right now, just underway. We got Oakland and the Houston Texans. A lot of Michigan State fans perhaps tuning in today, Verderam. They want to see their guy Connor Cook making his first ever NFL start in the playoffs, which has never happened before. What do you think of his chances today?
You know what? He's playing against the number one ranked defense in the NFL. He's playing against a defense that can get after him. Menelik Watson starting at left tackle for Donald Penn. That's a huge loss for the Raiders. But that being said, you know, Cook's got some really good players around him, in Crabtree and in Cooper especially. They should be able to complete some balls underneath, move the chains. Romeo Crennel always plays a little bit of a bend-don't-break defense. So I look for Cook to have a decent game if he just stays within himself. The question becomes, this is his first career start on a national stage. Does he get a little too amped up? Does he try to do a little too much? If he does that, it could be a really long day for the Raiders.
The AFC pretty much seems like a lock, right? I mean, the Patriots are – is anybody going to beat them? To me, I'm more interested in the NFC. I think there's three or four teams that can emerge from the NFC side, but can anybody top New England in the AFC?
I don't think the Steelers can, only because while they have a great offense, they don't have much of a defense. And going into Foxborough and playing that team, I believe the Steelers all time against Brady and Belichick are 2-7. And so, you know, since Tomlin's been the head coach, that's been a bad matchup for Pittsburgh for a long time. That typically doesn't go well. The Dolphins, the Texans, the Raiders who have no chance against New England. I think the Chiefs are the best matchup for them, only because the Chiefs can play defense. They can get after the quarterback. They have a shutdown corner. The Pats are no question the favorite in the AFC. But if there was one team that I think could go into Foxborough and give them a run, I think Kansas City, because of the experience and the talent on both sides of the ball.
Matt Verderam, fan sided with us here, 720 WGN. We'll be previewing the NFL playoffs. Houston and Oakland, just underway, about 12 minutes to go in the first quarter. We'll keep you up to date on all the scoring today, so you don't need to listen to the play-by-play right here. Powell and Carmen got you covered. I want to know what you think about Dak Prescott, Verderam, because here's a guy who was picked in the fourth round. Last time I checked, the Chicago Bears had 3 fourth-round picks. I almost feel like that's a fireable offense to have 3 fourth-round picks, to need a quarterback, to not pick one, and then have the guy go down to Dallas and arguably, or certainly is contention, to be the NFL MVP. I mean, go back in time for me, at least. Give me a little reminder. What were people thinking about Dak Prescott at that time? I mean, should Ryan Pace be under severe fire? Because I never even hear it. And here's this guy that's like, he's a borderline MVP candidate.
You know what? I don't think it's fair to Ryan Pace, only because there were 100-some-odd picks before Dak Prescott. Any team in the league could have taken him 3 times over, and nobody did. Now, granted, the Bears need a quarterback more than a lot of teams. But, you know, the idea really was that Goff went to the top 2, Lynch would go number 3, which he did. later in the first round to Denver. And then after that, most people thought, okay, the rest of these guys, like Connor Cook, like Dak Prescott, you know, like Christian Hackenberg out of Penn State, they were going to be mid-round, you know, fourth, fifth-round picks, maybe a third-round pick. So I don't think anybody thought that Dak Prescott was going to come in and be this sensation. I think it's fair to be critical of Pace from the standpoint that, look, you needed a quarterback, and the Bears came up short there. But I don't think it's fair to criticize in the regard that he was going to go later in the day. You want to criticize the team, criticize the Jets, who took a quarterback in the second round, Christian Hackenberg, and didn't take Prescott. They should be raked over the coals for that.
Who do the Bears take with the third pick in this year's draft?
You could go a lot of different ways. I mean, we still have to see how the combine plays out, the Senior Bowl. But I think if you're the Bears, look, there's a lot of holes in this team. You got to go with the best player available. I know a lot of people are going to scream quarterback.
Me.
We don't know
who
are
you going to take a quarterback?
Out.
Kizer at with the third pick? I mean, there's nobody there to take that high.
You know, look, anybody who watched Mitch Trubisky out of North Carolina in the Sun Bowl against Stanford, you're getting a project in Mitch Trubisky. That is going to take a while. He is not coming in and playing lights out immediately. Deshaun Watson, we're going to see him Monday night in the National Championship game. He's my quarterback to watch. He could fly up the boards because he's got all the measurables. He's been a starter for multiple years for a very good team. And as you said with Kizer, again, more of a project guy. The Bears are going to have to kind of see how this whole process plays out over the next 3.5 months. But my guess is the Bears are going to go defense and get a really prolific player on the defensive side of the ball.
Deshaun Watson and Clemson have any chance Monday night against Bama?
I think they have a chance only because, look, Alabama is certainly the favorite. And I think most people would pick the Crimson Tide to win pretty handily. But these two teams saw each other last year. Deshaun Watson has the kind of talent that could give a team like Alabama trouble. As great as they are defensively, he can do a little bit of everything. He's dialed back his running considerably this year, but he's a good thrower of the football. The big thing for Clemson is he threw 17 picks this year. He cannot throw a pick in that game. They score almost every game defensively. They did so against Washington. Alabama, considerable favorite. But Clemson has a couple of real big-time NFL prospects offensively, including the receiver Mike Williams, who might be the first receiver off the board in the draft.
Matt Verderam, fan side, a couple more with him as we look at the NFL playoffs. So there was this guy that came to Chicago last year, and he had been in Denver, and he was the offensive coordinator here, and Jay Cutler had his best season ever in the NFL. I believe his name is Adam Gase. And Adam Gase is now the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, who started out, correct me if I'm wrong here, Verderam, 1-4. And they're in the playoffs after having an unbelievable run, taking on Pittsburgh, who they beat, by the way, in the regular season. So the Dolphins, I think, with a real chance to advance here. Should the Bears have made Adam Gase their head coach, Verderam?
Again, you know, you could go through the hindsight part of it, but, you know.
How about John the force? Fox, go ahead. My bad.
Listen, John Fox has been to 2 Super Bowls as a head coach, 2 different teams. And by the way, one of those Super Bowls, he took Jake DeLome. He is a good head coach. Now, look, it has not worked out so far in Chicago, but let's be honest. Who would have coached the Bears right now and gotten this team to respectability? They have one of the worst 5 rosters in the NFL, period. And it's a tough thing to swallow for a city that loves football, but they need to rebuild this team. I think, look, Adam Gase is a really good young head coach, and certainly Bears fans are going to say, oh, I wish we had him. He's younger. He's maybe on the rise. We don't know where Fox is in his career, but you only had Fox for 1 year. You couldn't have fired him after last year and hired Gase. That would have been an absurd situation.
If the Bears do what we all mostly expect them to do and part ways with Jay Cutler, he signs with who?
That's a great question. I look at a team like Arizona. You know, Carson Palmer, there's rumors he might retire. Even if he doesn't, do the Cardinals move on? Again, though, that's stopgap for them, but maybe they see themselves as a veteran team looking to just try to catch a little lightning in a bottle. You know, the Jets never seem to be able to figure out the quarterback position. Maybe he's an option there.
Team up with Brandon Marshall again? I could see that over in New York. They get the prima donna and Jay Cutler a little bit.
Yeah. You know, it wouldn't be the craziest situation in the world, but I think Cutler, I think the market's tough for him. He's getting older, had some injuries, and frankly, I think it's kind of getting to the point where you say, even if we bring him in, what can we really win with him? Where with the Tony Romo, I think people feel like if he's healthy, you can win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's the Cutler stigma for sure. I'm really interested to see who would want to bring him in, whether that's real or just perceived by Bears fans. There is a Cutler stigma, but there's certainly the talent there. I'm really interested to see where he lands if the Bears do part ways with him.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be really interesting. He could go a bunch of different routes, but I think right now, if you're he would fit a team, like I said, maybe the Cardinals, a team like that. You know, it's a tough get, because really, if you're a team that stinks, you're not going to go sign him. It would just be pointless. So it's a very weird market for Jay Cutler.
Matt Verderam, displaced New Yorker living in Chicago, working at Fanside and trying to find his way around the city.
Chiefs guy, right?
A diehard Chiefs guy, too. Papa was a big Chiefs fan, right, Verderam? That's your story?
Yeah, I mean, he is a Chiefs fan. He's not dead yet. But yeah, he's a...
My bad.
Is Alex Smith underrated?
No.
No, I think he's...
Or overrated? Or...
I think he's an average quarterback. He has above-average games, and he has below-average moments. So I think, look, for the Chiefs, you know, without getting on a tangent about it, for them to advance, for them to get to a Super Bowl, they just need him to be good, to not make mistakes, because they've got a really good defense. The offense has been much improved with Tyreek Hill, with Jeremy Maclin, Travis Kelce. So I think with him, it always comes down to just, does he make the big mistake? And he's had three games this year where he's cost them by throwing picks in the red zone.
Man, they're good at home, though. I like them next week, no matter who they're playing.
Matt Verderam, new Chicagoan, still likes New York pizza over Chicago pie.
Please, Verderam, come on. It's not even close.
I still say you can walk around with a slice of pizza in New York. In Chicago, you got to sit down. You got to put a bib on.
You don't have to.
It's a whole process.
I'll walk around with a deep dish in my hand. No problem. I'll drive my vehicle.
Paul's a big thin slice guy, Verderam.
Big thin. Even our thin crust just dominates New York pizza. It's not even close.
Listen, I'm from New York, and if I ever go the other way on that, they won't let me go home. So if those people in New York, they don't play games. I can't go back against them.
You're the best, Verderam. Thank you, and good luck to your Chiefs.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
We'll Matt Verderam, fansided.com.
Nice of him to leave his film lair. The guy watches more film than I think most NFL coaches do.
I wanted to see his commitment to this show. Because
a lot of commitment there in the middle of a playoff game. He steps away from the lair, joins at the Carm on the beat.
Right.
Big-time stuff from the Verderam.
He stepped away from the thriller that is the Raiders and the Texans. No score first quarter. We'll keep you up to date. All right, quick timeout. And coming up at 4, we're going to talk some Bulls basketball. Vincent Goodwill, Comcast Sportsnet. Always a spirited conversation. He'll be with us at 4:10. 720 WGN. Look at Kevin Powell. It's just lunch.
No big deal.
You getting involved?
Getting involved. Getting out there, Carm.
Have you had an It's Just Lunch date?
Not yet. We're sort of, that's in the works, putting the bio together, putting my age preference for the females I'd like to go to lunch with.
What is your bio? Well, what's the number one thing you want women to know about you?
I hate talking about myself and blah, blah, blah. I just put, you know, Kevin Powell, dominant sports anchor on the afternoon show at WGN Radio, part-time filling on the beat with At the Carm.
I like it. What else you got? Did you talk about your football talents?
I did not put that I was an all-conference guard in high school.
Were you all-conference?
All-conference.
At the guard spot?
At the guard spot.
Really?
Three-time starter on varsity, no big deal.
What number did you wear?
It's big 62.
I'm going out to get myself a 62
yeah?
jersey.
What? Well, Hersey Husky? I got it framed, Carm, in the basement at the Powell Complex.
You rolled the guard position? You're not that big, dude.
That was about 50 pounds ago.
You're 50 pounds plus?
Oh, yeah. The big boy.
You were getting after it. Okay.
I was lifting a lot.
Okay. Doing anything illegal there, buddy?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
That was a hesitation right there.
No, of course not. No, I was taking supplements and stuff, no question. Yeah. I mean, right. I was trying to get as jacked as possible. That was the strongest I probably was back then, but I had a lot of meat to move around, Carm. I was guard and defensive tackle.
Wow.
And if you look at me now, what would you guess it was? More of a fullback, tight end situation?
It's tight ender.
A little outside linebacker,
yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's impressive.
Anyways,
how come you no fear of the bird?
No.
Walk on?
Look at me. No, I don't have the size.
Okay. Okay.
I don't have the size.
So you could throw that in there. What about your golf game? You put that on your profile?
I love sports. I love playing golf, and I like trying new restaurants.
The old trying new restaurants.
I am a big try new restaurant
guy. It's
such
a lame dating line. I like to try new restaurants. I like to eat. I like to eat in, but I also like to go out. You know what? I like to watch movies, but occasionally I can.
All right. What? Let's write my bio right now, Carm. What would you? What would add the Carm put for me?
I would say. What would I say for Kevin? I would say dynamic, young, vibrant personality, radio talent.
Wow.
Looking for energetic.
He's looking for babes out there.
I mean, what's your criteria? What's your number one thing you want in a woman? Let's start there.
I mean, without sounding like a jerk male like pig, I mean, to be honest, you're talking about like personalities or you're talking about physical qualities?
Well, okay.
I love a girl that's fun. She's got to be fun.
Let's take the physical out of it. You want somebody that you're attracted to, fine.
Yeah.
But like the actual...
Fun. Fun's the most important thing.
Fun.
I can't have boredom in the life at the car.
What about integrity? Do you care about an integrity?
Absolutely, integrity.
Okay.
No
All right.
question about
so,
it.
So you want a fun, integrous, honest. What else?
Because a good relationship, you got to be honest. No secrets. None of this like, I said
no
something,
secrets.
But it meant something else. Let's just be blunt. Let's be honest with each other.
Okay.
Like, Kevin, you suck right now. I don't like you. That's fine. I'd rather have a girl tell me that than be like, you know, I don't know. And then she like, you know, sulks in the corner or something.
How would you say your communication skills are?
Quality communication skills, think. You don't think so?
I don't know.
Work in the communication business.
I've never dated you. It's different talking on the radio than actually being in one-on-one relation and saying like things that actually matter to you. That can be a little terrifying for some people.
Right. Fun. Got to be fun. Got to be outgoing. I like to go out, Carm.
Okay. Outgoing. Fun.
That's the biggest thing. It's like just be honest.
Do you want them to be in sports?
Nah, not really.
Not really. Okay.
I kind of like most relationships I've had, it's with women that don't know anything about sports, but I like it that way.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because it's like kind of my thing. Like it's sort of like sports is my thing. You go do your thing.
So you want somebody that can have their time, you can have your time, and then you can come together.
Like, I'm okay if I'm watching a Bears game and the woman I'm with is asking me questions about the game. Like questions you're like, really? You don't know that? But I actually kind of like that. I've had girls sit next to me and like they ask me questions like, what is that? What does that mean? And I like that.
You want to be the superior sports guy.
Not so much.
The all-knowing guy.
Sort of, I guess. I don't
know. Yeah, you want to have like a level, a corner in the relationship where you're the expert.
I guess so, yeah.
That's right. Fair.
Because us idiot guys, like at least I have that. I'm fairly knowledgeable in the sports world. So at least I know I'll have that in the relationship.
And then what about the cooking?
I like cooking. I would love if she could cook.
Uh-huh.
That would be dynamite.
Okay.
Love a good cook.
Okay. So what's the last thing you've made in the Powell extraordinary cooking realm?
I'm a big grilling guy.
Okay,
I haven't been cooking much since like grilling season ended, to be honest.
So you won't go out winter and grill? Like you won't battle through? See, those are the true like diehard grillers to
No,
me.
I will, but not in this sort of weather.
Okay.
I mean, last, I think, was it last year when it snowed on the Super Bowl day? Or was that two Super Bowls ago? When it was crazy. Remember we got like a foot of snow? Anyways, the point is we were smoking chicken wings that day.
Oh,
it was like 20 degrees and we got to battle through and do it. So fun. Gotta love to eat, Carm. I love like picky. I can't do picky.
Okay.
I know that sounds crazy, but like it's not fun to be like, oh, let's go try a new restaurant. And then it's like, this, that. It's like, come on, let's just go. Dynamic taste buds. Bring it.
So you don't want some allergic to
like peanut butter. If you're allergic to peanut butter, I can't date you.
Can't date somebody allergic to peanut butter.
I mean, I guess I could.
But you'd rather not.
She was super hot. I'm kidding.
Not really.
Not really.
Okay. But
that's part of the fun part, you know what I mean? Like trying new things and trying to be a little adventurous and whatnot.
We laid it all out there. 312-981-7200.
Send picks.
Who wants to go out with Kevin? We're taking this all the way to the top, correct, Dan? I don't need to break. Good.
Yeah, we got about a minute and a half here.
Okay. We're going to talk to Vincent Goodwill, the Chicago.
Why does my dating life always seem to come up on this radio station?
Well, I mean,
with Roe, it does. It turned into a whole thing. Every time I'm on with you, dating is a hot topic. Last night or two nights, whenever we hosted, we did 2 hours on marriage. And relationships.
Well, that's because your sister, first of all, let's hold on. We were just coming back out of commercial. It was you were doing a commercial for It's Just
right.
Lunch. So that was
true.
So that was an easy.
Go to itsjustlunchchicago.com, by the way.
Right. So that was a nice way to take care of an outstanding WGN sponsor and to learn more about you. It was natural. And then last time when we did Patty's show last Friday night, you brought your sister on because she'd just gotten engaged that day.
Yeah, that was awesome.
So
that's true. I guess it's just part of life for two single guys,
I jumped all over it.
Yeah, it was fun.
I love talking to Caitlin. Are they still engaged?
They're still engaged. They're making a trip to Florida. Which, by the way, they were supposed to fly into Fort Lauderdale yesterday. That didn't really work out. Had to switch that up a little bit. Had to Fort Myers, change the flight. A little bit of situation there.
Oh, right, Fort Lauderdale.
Anyways, they're down in Florida enjoying the time. Congrats again, Caitlin and Jimmy.
We didn't get Jimbo on the air, but we did get Caitlin, and the family was listening.
I still got to pull that audio. I've been asked about 100 times from friends and family.
There's a logger there for you, my brother. You can get that done.
Jimmy's been unbelievable in every possible way this year. I've talked about it all season long. He's his leadership. Obviously, his play speaks for itself. You know, he's playing as well as anybody in the league, especially when you look at this last week. You know, he's done everything for this group.
Let's trade him, though.
Freddie the Hoy.
Let's trade him, though.
You're all in on Jimmy Butler?
No, I was mocking people. Mocking the Bulls for even entertaining the idea.
So you're an all in on Jimmy Butler guy?
Of course.
Ooh. Kevin Powell, Mark Carbon here with you, 720 WGN, it's the Beat. I tend to agree with you. It's hard for me to be like, I'll give you a scenario.
I'm not like a raging Butler fan. I don't think he's near the level of your Durants or your LeBrons or any of those guys that can carry an entire team to a championship. He's a top 20-ish player.
He's 10 to 20. That's right. He's 10 to 20 all day.
He is, and he's having a really good year.
Yes.
Highs and points, it's rebounds, all that.
It'd be very hard to get value for Jimmy Butler, requisite to his ability. That is all true.
I mean, remember where they were dangling him near the draft? And some of the rumors that came out and what they would have gotten in return were ridiculous.
It wasn't exciting.
I mean, it didn't even make sense.
Sixers have two picks in the top 10. I would be calling up Philly if I was Gar Pax and saying, yo, hello, Philadelphia. You want to give me those two picks and one of your three centers that you don't need? You want Jimmy Butler? Let's make something happen here. We'll figure out the money and everything else around it. I'd be interested in doing something like that.
Who would you want from Philly?
Give me Nerlens Noel. Give me Jahlil Okafor. Give me Joel Embiid. One of those three, and give me your two first-round picks, and I'm going to draft Malik Monk out of Kentucky, who's putting up 47 on Carolina, and I'm going to live that dream.
Can we throw Nick Stauskas in the deal?
Nick Stauskas is a terrible NBA player, but sure, I'll take
it. I don't know why. I just wanted to throw him in the deal.
Okay. All right. I mean, at some point, listen, if it was me and you could go back in time to just last offseason, I would have not brought in Dwayne Wade.
No, of course not.
I would have not brought in Rajon Rondo. I would have gone to the bottom with Jimmy Butler and won 25 games. And gotten gotten everything I could of just getting rid of the roster, and then I would have built it from there. Let's see what Vincent Goodwill, my guy over at Comcast Sportsnet, who loves me even though he doesn't know it, is joining us now, 720 WGN. Hi, Vincent. How are you, sir?
What's going on, guys?
You know that you agree with me on that one, right? I think I actually do think we're in agreement. Go to the bottom with Jimmy and build it from there, right?
Go to the when you say go to the bottom, I mean, how are you going to go to the bottom if you have a top 15 player?
Well, okay, whatever that bottom is with him, like I'm trading Taj. I would have done everything else they did in the offseason as far as not bringing back Joe, trading Derek, all that type of stuff, and then play young players. Like, people are wondering, why isn't Rajon Rondo coming off the bench right now? He's not coming off the bench right now because you'd rather play a young player in Jerry and Grant. That's why. At least I would.
Well, I don't, I guess it depends on what you, like I said, it completely depends on not only just saying going down to the death zone or whatever you want to call it, but I always tell people, and I said a little bit yesterday on Twitter, be very careful about wanting change for change's sake and wanting to rebuild just for the sake of wanting something different. Because once you make the decision to go down that road, it's very, very difficult to get out of it because you leave yourself no room for error. With the way the lottery system works, with the way that one player can change your fortune, with the way that free agency works, with the way that the trading market works, it's very hard unless you have the young assets in place already who you just know are going to develop and it's just going to take time. The Bulls can't answer that question right now just to say, well, we'll bottom out in 2 years, Nikola Mirotic is going to be this, or Doug McDermott is going to be this, or Jaren Grant is going to be this. There's far too many question marks. I think that it's it's much more practical, at least for me. If you got a player in his absolute prime that you can hold on to in Jimmy Butler with the way the CBA works, and you know that free agency won't be this utopia because of the way that the league wants free agency to work from now on, you're going to have to work this through your trade market. You're going to have to make the right trades. And I think it's best that you try to stay competitive in the interim, because I don't know if people get drafts right. It's an inexact science for the most part. And the last few drafts I haven't been completely impressed with. So to say that, well, we didn't trust you the last three drafts per se, but we're going to trust you to tear this down, get the right draft picks, do it the right way, you're going to have, maybe another year of Jimmy Butler before he gets frustrated. Then you got to trade him for what? More draft picks, more young players?
Well, Vince,
and you better get that right.
And Vince, if we look back, do Garpax have any clue what they want to do with this team? Why, as Carm mentioned, why bring in Dwayne Wade? Why sign Rajon Rondo? Why now does Jimmy Butler's name surface in trade rumors? Why the hell would you trade Jimmy Butler in the first place? And why would you bring in these aging veterans? There's clearly just no direction with this organization right now.
Well, I would say that I don't think that when they signed Rajon, or at least when they brought him in on the first day of free agency, they didn't have any clue that the way Miami marriage would break up. Like, let's be completely honest. Nobody thought Wade was actually going to leave Miami. You thought there would be some back and forth and things like that, but you thought eventually cooler heads would prevail and Wade would wind up being there. That didn't happen.
Absolutely.
Had they known Wade was going to be there and he was going to be their guy, I think they would have went in a completely different direction. I just think it was the order of how things fell. But I don't have a problem with signing Dwayne Wade. I don't see where there could be an issue of that, especially when you have a coach who's not very experienced in the ways of dealing with a locker room, in the ways of dealing with a maturing star who's growing into his position. This isn't Willie Mays, tripping over his feet or something. At least that's not how I see it.
So why trade Jimmy Butler, Vincent? Why would they even entertain the idea?
I have not a clue.
And I'm trying to figure it out myself. I don't get it.
I don't think they are. And I'll say this. I don't think anything has changed from last year last June on draft night when they were reportedly, allegedly, depending on who you talk to, talking to Minnesota, talking to Boston, and trying to get the Herschel Walker deal. And I don't think that's ever really changed as far as, hey, if we get offered something really, really great, we'll strongly consider making the deal. I don't think you necessarily should do that, because if you're trading Jimmy Butler, what are you hoping to get back in the long run? Another Jimmy Butler or someone who can develop into that type of player. But if you already got him, why trade him? That doesn't make sense.
And the trade rumors are real, correct, Vince? And you can confirm that. These rumors that are surfacing, it's real, right? The Bulls are feeling things out.
I don't think that's ever changed. I think the report coming out seemed like the news cycle was starting over. But I think the Bulls were always somewhat open to listening. Now the teams that the Bulls have engaged with before, and whether it's been reported talks or not, they have told me that nothing has changed in that matter, that they haven't had talks with the Bulls about Jimmy Butler or anything like that. So, and they said, if something had changed, we would try to put something together, but they said that nothing has happened. So I'm not sure who the Bulls exactly are talking to or what they're trying to get compared to what they were trying to get before. It could just be the timing of the report, and I'm not throwing salt on anybody's reporting or whatever. I'm just saying I don't think anything necessarily changed from June to now.
Vincent Goodwill's Comcast Sportsnet with us here on 720 WGN. Whenever I'm in the locker room and I get to talk to Dwayne Wade, I'm super impressed by him. I mean, everybody says the same thing. This is the most professional guy they've had in that locker room since Michael himself. He definitely knew the situation he was coming into, that this wasn't a championship team. Yet he's speaking the other day, Vincent, talking about, hey, I only have so many years left. Adding on would be cool. I'm almost like, is that like you just doing that for the media? Because he couldn't really have come here thinking he was going to win anything, right?
No, but there's a difference. There's a huge difference in what you're saying and how you're interpreting what he's saying and what I think that he's trying to convey. When you look at the Eastern Conference, there's nobody that scares you outside of Cleveland, right? And as a competitor, if you're going to tell Dwayne, yes, come to Chicago because of Jimmy Butler, and then on the other side of it say, well, no, Dwayne, don't expect to compete for anything. I think you can't say that, because if you have a Jimmy Butler, that's going to automatically put you in the mix. But then to say, well, put a ceiling on that, you know, I just think he was trying to say, look, this isn't a championship team right now. That's not where we're at this stage. But when he sees the Eastern Conference shake itself out and he sees the opportunity, hey, why can't we be a second-round team or a team that potentially can go against LeBron James in the conference finals or in the second round? As a competitor, you want that opportunity if you see that it's there. So if he's saying, okay, you know what, if we're one half-decent player away, then I don't think that's something, you know, wrong. I don't think he's telling, hey, mortgage the future or anything like that. He's just saying, hey, we got an opportunity now. We can make a decent move. Okay, go ahead and do it. And what future do you have that you could mortgage? Let's be honest here.
Right, right. I mean, sure, if you could trade Nikola Mirotic for something that made more sense for this roster, I would do it. I don't know if that's if any team would give you something that would fit make more sense, or even Doug McDermott for that matter. But, I mean, does anybody on that roster have any value? Taj Gibson included, that they could deal. I mean, what could you get for any of these guys, really?
Well, I think the team that the Bulls are playing tonight will probably love to have Taj Gibson.
That would, he would make sense, and that's a perfect fit for Toronto. But what? Okay, so what are you going to get back from the Toronto Raptors?
What do you?
Terrence Ross?
Here's what the Bulls could possibly be thinking. If, you know, there was the rumor deal about Pau Gasol with Sacramento last season, and they didn't trade him, and they held on to him, and they wanted the cap space, and they say, you know what? If we traded Pau Gasol last year, we have Ben McLemore, not Dwayne Wade. So their logic could also trickle down with Taj and just say, you know what, whether we keep him or, you know, keep him and re-sign him to a reasonable contract or, you know, or move on or something like that, we'd rather do that than trade him for pennies on the dollar. And I actually agree with that line of thinking. And secondly, once again, if there's only one team or two teams that you can trade a guy to, it limits actually what you can get back. If that makes sense. The more bidders you have for a guy, the better the offers you're going to get.
Of course. All right. Well, it'll be interesting. So you're expecting then the Bulls to make a deal come the deadline?
I don't – no. I didn't say that. No. Don't you dare put words in my mouth about this Bulls front office. No, I don't – I have no clue. If you're expecting me to know what this front office is going to do,
fine.
I got the lottery numbers for you tomorrow. Okay,
okay. All right, fair enough. So, all right, just real quick, just general NBA.
Hey,
go ahead, mm-hmm. Go ahead, Kevin.
Real quick, should they cut Rajon Rondo?
Yes, I'll answer that. Go ahead. What do you think?
I think that if you're not going to play him, I don't know why necessarily you have him here, but I think from an organizational standpoint, I think they know that Rajon is on strike two and he can't act up. So they know that they're going to get good behavior from him. But I don't know if you don't want him here, you know, I don't know why you would keep him here almost against his will.
I mean, is there anybody in the NBA that's trading for a guy making $11 million?
14, right?
Or 14, rather, my bad.
Call Cleveland.
LeBron wants a point guard.
LeBron is that boy.
I mean, okay, whatever. Send him to Cleveland. Let's just keep building that roster. How does Atlanta just say, you know what? Yeah, okay, go ahead. Take Kyle Korver, and we're going to get basically nothing in return. We'll just give you another piece to make the finals more interesting. How does that work?
Sometimes you have great relationships around the league, and if you're going to send a guy somewhere, you'd rather send him to your buddy. Like Kevin Garnett going to Boston from Kevin McHale, gift wrap to Danny Ainge, two former Celtics. Sometimes these things just happen.
All right, I got to pause on that. We're just going to – yeah, you know, we got a good relationship here. I like Cleveland. Korver's been a good guy down here.
LeBron needs another weapon. Here, take Korver.
Guy's going to just drill 40% of threes.
We're not trying to compete. We're not worried about – We're signaling that we're stripping this down.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter what we send them.
So where's Paul Millsap going then, too? Toronto? Why don't we hand him to Toronto? So let's make an interesting Eastern Conference Final.
That would be an interesting move too. If you're the Bulls, why wouldn't you call Paul Millsap? We'll call for Paul Millsap.
That's okay. All right. If I was Gar Pax, I'd be on the phone on that one. Okay. I got one question on Golden State, and Cleveland. Not even sure what my question is, other than why can't we just fast forward to the NBA Finals and just watch this? Because really, that's any right now. If you're an NBA fan, that's really all you want to see, right? And let's just get it on.
True, but you know, there's some entertainment in the ingredients. There's an entertainment in how it's going to get there. You got to get past San Antonio or the Clippers, or, you know, Oklahoma City or Houston. The West is still going to be interesting. We know how it's going to turn out. At least we think we do. You know, and if you're an Eastern Conference team, why don't you grow a pair and go challenge Cleveland and go grab a piece or two that can elevate you and see what you can do. Don't concede. Go ahead and grab a pair. That's for me. If I'm a GM, I'm going for it.
I love
competition.
It.
All right. Anything.
Well, Toronto would be the team to do that. We'll see what they do. Vincent, we'll see you out there at the United Center tonight. The Bulls and the Raptors, baby. Big game. For whatever reason, the Bulls beat the Raptors every time. I think that maybe changes tonight, but we'll see. Thanks for taking time, man.
Thanks, Vincent.
He was game tonight, guys. See you soon.
See ya. Vincent Goodwill, Comcast Sportsnet, talk a little Bulls basketball. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Kevin Powell. Happy Saturday afternoon to you. Always enjoy a conversation with Vincent Goodwill. They just handed him Kyle Korver. It's great for the NBA, by the way. Good for the finals. Throwing a little Kyle Korver.
Yeah, the NBA, I love Charles Barkley. He says some crazy stuff, but the other day he basically said the NBA's not in a great place. Ratings are fine, but, I mean, really, he's right. There's two teams. Nobody's beating them.
Right, but it's like that whole argument to me is just wrong. Like, the NBA was phenomenal when it was the Lakers and the Celtics.
It's true.
Bird, Magic, and you've got two marquee people, fans like Mark.
That's true. I think in the NBA it does work. And you have the superstars that are carrying the league, like LeBron and what Golden State's doing. But I think it appeals more to the common fan, right? So I think that's why it works, because us nuts in sports may be a little tired of it, but a common fan could turn the game on and be like, they feel knowledgeable about it because they know, it's the Cavaliers and Golden State, right?
Right.
They, you know, they have the superstars that are carrying the league, basically. So the common fan can relate, where us, you're not a little frustrated or annoyed with the state of the NBA, where it's like, it is. You love basketball. You're going to watch it no matter what, but isn't it a little like, it loses its luster, man.
For me, it's like I just enjoy watching the sport itself. I like watching the game. The Bulls, I mean, I was very into the team when Derek, before he got hurt, and even when he was trying to make his way back, and it wasn't that long ago, by the way, they were up 2-1 on Cleveland in the Eastern Conference semis. And they were right there. And then it all fell apart. LeBron hit the corner three. And
classic corner three, throwing daggers, LeBron.
They win game four. Bulls lose a heartbreaker in game five. Bow out in game six. Tibbs leaves forever. Fred Hoiberg comes in. And it's just been straight to the toilet since. Not saying that it's all Fred Hoiberg's fault.
How often do you go back in the in the midst of frustrating, mediocre Bulls play? How often, how many times a week would you say, Carm, you go back to watch and watch Jordan highlights? Maybe a full 97 NBA Finals game, something like that?
I think at least once a day I dial up YouTube for a good 2 minutes.
Like a Jordan dunk, or maybe like a Jordan fadeaway, just sort of whatever you're feeling that day?
I'll type in, like today's action was a Jordan 1984 Olympics against Larry Bird, Isaiah Thomas, and the NBA players. A game, by the way, the Olympic team.
That's dynamite.
That had Chris Mullin, Patrick Ewing, Michael, amongst others.
Wow.
They beat the NBA stars. This was in a sold-out, the Dome down in Indy.
What was the matchup?
They were playing exhibition games in the summer before the Olympics, right?
Okay.
Bobby Knight is coaching the U.S. Olympic team, which was all the college kids. Jordan.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
You know, Jordan, Ewing, Chris Mullin, all these guys are in college.
And they beating pro teams?
And they were beating Bird and Isaiah and company. And it was like competitive, non-competitive, but mostly competitive. And Michael's, you know, driving through, making ridiculous finishes at the hoop. And after those Olympics, you know, Bobby Knight was like, hey, man, this is the best player I've ever seen. Before he even stepped into the NBA, he was calling Michael the best player he'd ever seen.
What's your favorite Michael Jordan / Bulls piece of memorabilia you have at the Carm household?
I'm not a big memorabilia guy, but probably my I got a framed Chicago Stadium.
Signed?
Not signed, no. But Chicago Stadium. That was the childhood, KP. Little stadium.
I can't do a show with you without asking about Michael Jordan and you the want glory a, you days want, at least once.
You want a young?
I just look like your face right now. Like you look. Like
I get
you're
emotional.
In paradise. You just went to your happy place.
It was.
It's phenomenal.
It was the best. It was a lot of fun. All right, coming up after 4:30. There's a talking about parents and high school sports, and a very interesting story about a kid that's transferring. We are continually out over our skis in how we try to get our kids to do what we want them to do. We'll explain that coming up right after 4:30, 720 WGN. .433, 720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Saturday. I'm Mark Carman. He's Kevin Powell. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Opportunity to jump in here on a story that comes out of the Daily Southtown. All right, Kevin. So we've got a basketball coach of Marion Catholic. His name is Mike Taylor.
Classic Mike Taylor.
Coach Taylor. He wakes up December 28th. He's got a voice message on his phone. It's the father of his junior point guard, Brandon Hurt. Well, he's a guard. He plays both the point and the shooting guard. The dad tells the coach that Brandon's on his way to Florida, that he was leaving in the middle of the season, leaving Marion Catholic. He's going to a prep school in Florida by the name of Victory Rock. And according to the coach, wasn't surprised that he was transferring, but he was surprised by the timing. Okay, so this is a junior guy.
Junior high schooler.
Junior high schooler.
How good is this kid?
Okay, I'm going to get to that in a second. But remember, by the way, this is the middle of the school year. Okay, I know. Now I know it's Christmas break, so okay, but it's just kind of crazy, right? 24 hours earlier, he was on the court. Marion Catholic was beating Urban Prep Inglewood, and Brandon Hurt was playing basketball. Okay, so now he's transferring. He's going down to Florida. How good, you ask, is the guy? He was averaging 7.7 points per game, 2.9 rebounds, 2.7 assists, 3 turnovers, shooting 32% from the floor, 60% from the foul line.
Real blue chip prospect.
Right, exactly. Okay. So, all right, but he doesn't feel like he's being highlighted enough by his high school coach. He's looking to get that scholarship. He's looking for a better situation. A lot of money involved here these nowadays, right? So they asked Coach Taylor, this is the fourth player to leave Marion Catholic since last year. Fourth player. Now, why, Coach Taylor, are they leaving? And the quote is, a lot of selfishness. Why is this kid getting more attention than my kid? Why is my kid not making all conference?
Soft.
Why isn't my kid getting a Division I scholarship?
Soft.
That's what the culture truly is today. And then you have the parents, right, who are like, hey, knock, knock, coach, what are you doing, Coach Taylor? How come my kid is not playing more?
Tell your kid to be better at basketball and you'll play more.
So this is not like a surprising story, I guess, but I just think it's like I want to sort of have the conversation around, can we really look at what's going on and how much emphasis we're putting on kids getting scholarships and parents not having to pay for college? And I get these are real expenses, but I also get that this is a kid and he's maybe working as hard as he can possibly work, and this is his talent level. And, you know, looking for creating an environment where you're telling a kid that, hey, the coach ain't using you right. You should be doing this. You should be doing this. Let's take you out of the state and throw you down to Florida where you'll be used properly, and then you can go to Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, wherever you want to pick. It's really disturbing. I don't know if there's no real answer to this, but I just feel like...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've been having this conversation, and we've all heard stories like this for years, and we've heard it a million times now. His parents is paving the way for, as the coach said, selfishness, softness, in my opinion. I mean, seriously, just if your kid's complaining about playing time, really? Then tell him to be better at basketball and shut up and go to the gym and work.
312-981-7200. If you're going out to high school sporting events nowadays, you know, what is the experience like right now? I mean, what are you seeing? I haven't been to a game in a while.
Well, when I was in college for a couple extra bucks, I'd ref like the local park district.
Okay.
These were ages from probably 8 or 9 all the way up through high school. Some kids that would play outside of school just for more pickup games and whatnot.
Right.
So I loved doing it, and the kids weren't the problem. It's the parents on the sideline. I mean, they were insane. I mean, particularly coaching or reffing a 10-year-old basketball game, and you have parents jumping up and down and screaming at the top of their lungs about a call I may or may not have missed.
Right.
I mean, what?
Right.
What?
And so like, then what do you
do? I know, I want to, like, if I ever have kids, Carmen, and we're out at, you know, the Park District, you know, my kid's owning your kid in a little pickup basketball game, Carmen, if I'm ever on the sideline, jumping up and down, screaming, walk up to me and smack, do something, Carm. Just tell me to stop. Smack me in the face, punch me, remind me of this conversation we're having right now. I mean, it's embarrassing what parents do. And the kids aren't the problem. And then you know what? The kids would feed off the parents. It's like,
right.
It's like, oh, man. Like, you guys were good. You guys were fun kids, like, doing a good job, playing hard here. And then their mom's screaming, their dad's screaming at me for a missed call for an 11-year-old basketball game, Park District. And then the kids start complaining. It's like, yeah, don't go there, kids. It's like, what are you doing here?
So you had an 11-year-old have beef with you?
Oh, yeah. They would scream at me.
The 11-year-olds would scream at you?
Yeah. They'd flail their arms and whatnot. Eat your meat. I was like, whatever. I'm serious, man. So it was full-blown insanity. I'm like, this is crazy.
That's disturbing.
I'm like, this is Park District basketball.
I mean, in 312-981-7200, if
I mean,
you want to join.
I don't even know what else to say about it. It's like, it's pretty basic and simple. Don't be a psycho sports parent.
I just feel like having the conversation because, listen, my niece is 10. She plays soccer. She's in all sorts of leagues. And whenever I go out there, I mean, it's fine. But I see some of these coaches, and it's like they are out for blood.
Oh, my God.
I'm like,
Get a life.
I'm like, dude.
I mean, get a life, seriously.
Like, dude, you have a,
did you ever encounter this, whether, like, I don't know if your dad ever coached your teams or just playing peewee, whatever, baseball, basketball. Wasn't it always so uncomfortable as a kid, like, if your coach was arguing with the other coach or arguing with a parent? Like, the kids are just sitting there like, this is awkward. We're just here to play baseball. And the two managers are screaming at each other about a 10-year-old, you know, youth baseball game.
Well,
it's like, what? This is not comfortable. I came here to have fun. What's going on?
And I think it's cool, too, that if you want to coach your kid's team or you want to coach junior high or whatever, I think that's great. But I think it's also important to realize, look, you have an obligation to not make it about you, to put the kids first, to teach them real life lessons.
They're there to have fun. They're there to have fun,
right.
And you can use. I mean, that's the great thing about sports. You know, it's not just some goof. There is a lot of things you can take away from playing the sports and sort of being around it.
And
your job is to identify those with the kid and expose them to those positive traits that the sport is presenting to them.
And I'm also saying, look. If a kid is super into it,
I don't have kids, so it's sort of weird me lecturing what parents should do. But I think it's pretty simple. You don't have to be a parent to tell other parents that are screaming on the sideline of a youth basketball game to relax, chill out.
You don't have to qualify it, and I get it. Look, it's emotional. It's your kid out there. You want them to do well. You want them to succeed. You want them to be treated fairly. I hear all of that. It makes sense. But again, you're the adult. You should have learned some life lessons throughout your time getting to that point as the parent. And again, like, if a kid is super into it and wants to play the sport or whatever and wants to play it at a really high level and has dreams of being, you know, playing on the college level or even further than that or just playing high school, whatever, I'm all for pushing that kid to be as successful as they possibly can be and let him have the maximum amount of success. Spend extra time with him. Get up in the morning. If it's soccer, kick the ball around him. If it's tennis, hit with him. If it's hoops, rebound for him. Put all that stuff. But you
the 773 Texan, yes, they're there to have fun, but winning is fun, losing is not. No question. Teach them that winning is important. But at that but age, I think there's other things you probably want to be teaching them. Also, learn how to lose with grace.
312-981-7200. Jane, welcome
Hi.
To WGN, Jane.
I have a very unique perspective on this, I think, than most parents, people,
it.
Because can you hear me?
Yep. Yeah, I said, let's hear it.
Okay. So I raised two sons. Both went on to play college sports. Neither of them Division I, but I'm kind of actually happy they didn't. And I also was asked to run for elective office. And one of the reasons I got asked to run for elective office was I wasn't a screaming parent. And then both of my sons, in the process of being recruited, made comments about – the coaches made comments to us roughly that said one of the reasons we recruited your kids was because you were so calm on the wow. sideline.
Well done, Jane.
So, yeah, and they had a great college experience, had great coaches, and I recommend being calm parents throughout.
Right, and I'm sure
process.
It's not just the fact that you were there calm. I'm sure they could probably take a lot of what your kids are about when they see the mom on the sideline being respectful and just enjoying the game. I'm sure a lot of that translates to your sons, correct?
And it was mom and dad
okay.
on the sideline. Nice. Yeah, my kids, yeah, I guess, yeah, my coaches always said that they were leaders on the teams, you know, and, you know, they've got a lot of playing time.
Jane, you won. You won as a parent. Well done.
What sport do they play, Jane?
Soccer. They played, well, growing up, I didn't one sport my kids, but they played soccer, basketball, track.
And what one did they play in college?
Track and nice. Soccer and cross country.
Jane, where'd you learn your demeanor? I mean, did you get that from your own parents?
I didn't come from the generation where the parents were at a lot of our games.
Okay.
I think it comes from watching parents scream at four-year-olds that you'll learn really fast how brutal that is.
The old scream at four-year-olds.
And I married well. I married a calm man.
Good job, Jane. Good job.
All right. So, yeah.
Thank you so much,
Good
Jane.
Good luck. Enjoy the show.
Well done.
Thanks, Jane. Good sharing.
773 text, and a lot of parents are living through their kids nowadays. I think that's a lot of it, too. These parents that are like crazy Uncle Ricos trying to relive their glory days, playing through their kids.
I love Uncle Rico. 312-981-7200. You want to jump in? Okay.
Six Real also says, I saw a 10-under baseball coach in Schaumburg make his own kid go stand by himself away from the field because he made an error and embarrassed him. Yeah. Nice life lesson there, coach. Well done.
Okay, so like in that scenario, when would it be okay for a kid to be sent off to stand under that tree for the next 20 minutes, you're in timeout.
If he said something, talked back to the umpire or trash talked an opponent or something along those lines.
Why is it so hard? Like let's do some amateur psychology here.
Right.
Why is it so hard for a parent
to just sit there
just sit there and experience the game, root for their kid, but stay calm through it and have sort of a grander life vision of the overall importance of what's going on and realize that you are at the same time watching, you're also teaching. And it's important. I mean, because that stuff does get passed down, right?
Yeah, I mean, I remember playing football and a teammate, his dad just kept yelling at the ref and the ref flagged us. Unsportsmanlike. We got a 15-yard penalty. It's like, what's going on here? What's happening? Everybody chill.
815 texting in. My dad coached high school volleyball, small 1A rural town. In a small 1A rural town, parents would, this is volleyball, by the way, parents would call, text, come to the house, demand more playing time for their kids. It was constant.
773 says, hey, Carmen, Kevin, that lady's kids coach is full of crap. I don't know. I trust Jane.
Oh, I if you're
is,
dog,
that, is that what they're referring
I,
to?
I don't know if they're referring to Jane. If they are, then
that lady's kid's coach is full. Oh, the coach who told her that he recruited them because she had a calm demeanor.
Oh, that makes sense actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like Jane. She seems trustworthy to me, Carm.
No,
I'm a big Jane fan. Well, big Jane guy.
Here, look. What's I'm sure that was true that the coach did like the fact that Jane and her husband were very calm and were great parents supporting their kids. However, and I'm sure Jane would agree with this, I don't know Jane super well, but I think I know her well enough, they wouldn't have gotten recruited if just because of that. They had to be able to play.
Jane knows what's up.
I mean, their kids had to be talented too.
Right.
And not
they probably would have got recruited even if they were a screaming parent on
right,
the sideline.
Right. It's a combination, but like there's just a lot of kids out there, right? And which kid am I going to take on the D2 level, where I like this kid and I like that kid? There's no real discernible difference. Well, I mean, if the parents are nuts, over the top, well, it is more likely that the Jane's kid in this scenario is going to get recruited, right?
Is at the Carm going to be like the Pee Wee coach when you have kids?
I don't know about the
coaching hoops, maybe chipping in here and there.
I don't know about the coaching thing, but I definitely.
Why not? I could see the phone line's blowing up. By the way, 312-981-7200.
Yeah, here we'll take a bunch of calls coming back here. 312-981-7200. I'll ask you how I think I'll be as a parent on the one day.
I think you'll be a good parent.
The one day that I hopefully get there. All right, 720 WGN. WGN, Marion Catholic kid transferring middle of the season, wants more playing time.
Soft.
Talking about the...
Be better, and you get more playing time.
The way parenting goes on today.
I want more playing time. Let's move to Florida. Nerds.
Get that... Powell's hostile today. You're full on hostile.
I'm not hostile. It's just like, seriously? I'm just so tired of hearing stories like this over and over.
Now, interesting piece in the Daily Southtown. Let's. So we're talking about parenting and what the role, how parents should be, how they are, what you experience when you go to games. Fred calling in to call out himself. He's apparently been ejected from his son's game. Fred, thank you for sharing. Welcome to 720 WGN.
Yeah, thanks. It's just an anecdotal experience, but... I have three boys, and they're all good athletes, and our oldest son played Division I baseball, but I was at my middle son's high school baseball game, and they like for me to film their at-bats. So okay. I'm there behind the cage filming, and the pitcher winds up, and first pitch hits my son in the shoulder, but my son, because he didn't duck away, he wouldn't let him take first base. Second pitch hits my son again, wouldn't let him take first base.
Ooh.
Third pitch hits my son right in the head, and that's when I just kind of erupted and they ejected me from the game.
All right. Actually, I think that's fair.
I left myself and came back to cool off, to leave to cool off, and by the time I came back, they said I was ejected. So, you know, I tried to hold it in, but...
You're normally not a crazy flail the arms, scream at people on the field or court or playing surface, are you, Fred? That was just sort of a one-time thing.
I'm not. You know, I coached 8 years of middle school football, dealt with a lot of the politics, and I tried to involve all the kids. In fact, I had an assistant coach who was one of these really hard-nosed guys, and they fired my assistant coach, and I had to, you know, kind of – work the whole politics of all the parents and everything else through that whole thing. But, you know, there's a lot that goes into coaching and guiding kids growing up. But the main thing to me was, as a father, as a coach, was, you know, the kids need to have fun. And they need to, you know, just put their best foot forward and just let them be, you know, the individuals having just the joy and the fun of competing. Not so much to win, but to have a good game and put your best effort, I always felt that was important. I did play a little cup of coffee, walked on Northwestern's football team. I lasted less than a year, walked off, but anyway.
Go Cats.
What era, Fred? Who'd you walk on with?
Walked on with Coach John Pond. He was the AD, football coach at Northwestern. And I tried to walk back on my senior year with Rick Venturi, and they ended up starting. They won one game back in 1979, and then for the next 5 years, they set the NCAA losing streak record.
Go Cats!
If they had Fred, they wouldn't. That never would have happened if they had let you walk on.
Right.
All right.
Have a good one. Keep
Thanks,
up
Fred.
Good one,
Thanks, Fred. Appreciate it. I love Fred.
Big Fred guy.
It's kind of an odd story. Don't know if it completely passes the smell test. Kid got hit twice. They didn't let him go down to first. What was he standing on the plate? What's going on here? 312-981-7200. Love Fred. Go Cats. Let's see.
Melissa.
Yeah, let's go, Melissa. Melissa, welcome to 720 WGN.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
So I'm hearing you guys talk, and you don't have kids yet. And I have I sent Kevin my 7-year-old basketball.
Oh, that's right. Tearing it up out there.
Tearing it up. So I play no sports. My husband played. We have this elite athlete kid, and something takes over. You can't just, like, you just start, you are so into it, and you just want them to succeed so badly because you, and it is, you're like living through your kid. But it's, I'd be curious to, you know, revisit this in 5-10 years,
yeah,
maybe, when you guys are out there. Because it's,
right. And that's what I said.
Today,
I don't have kids.
Like,
I know it's a whole different level, different angle. But as I told Carm earlier, if I ever become one of those parents, he has permission to walk up and smack me in the face. And anybody listening does. If you see me on the sideline screaming, you'd smack me in the face. It's
totally fine. I mean, I don't usually, it's not like a trash talking.
Right.
Or,
you're more cheering on your vocal on the sidelines. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, but
that's
I do have to catch myself. Like, even, you know, if she misses a few, I'm like, bag your knees. What do you do? You know, you.
Do you, Melissa? Do you feel like you're well, hold on a second, Melissa. Do you feel like your entire how you've parented your kid is on the line when you're watching him play?
Oh, I never thought about that. Maybe subconsciously. Maybe it's like she's. You know, I made that. So,
right.
Like, I have to. I'm not facilitating it correctly if I misuse her skills.
Right,
yeah.
Right. It's a reflection on you. So it's that I think that's most likely, if I was to gander a guess as to what's going on, that's my take. And just remember this, Melissa, from At the Carm on Twitter. Thank you. You're welcome. You've done a phenomenal job as a parent, and your kids are not going to be perfect. They will make mistakes, and that is no reflection on you. And you are a winner, and your kid is a winner. So just walk tall, walk proud, Melissa.
At the Carm,
thanks.
Right there for you.
Thanks,
thank you,
guys.
Melissa. Thanks for listening.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
312-981-7200 is the phone number.
I think you might be a crazy parent on the sideline, Carm.
I listen, it won't be easy for me. I know.
I could see you getting heated.
I don't know about getting heated, but
no,
I think.
I could see it.
Well, maybe. I don't know about.
I think I'm going to be pretty chill on the sideline. I'll probably be coaching my kids, leading us to championships and whatnot. So,
I mean, I wouldn't
I'll
doubt.
I'll probably be embedded into the game.
I wouldn't doubt that you'll just be hanging out.
I got a coach. I want to coach. I got the itch to coaching. I went and talked to my high school football squad this past summer. I don't think it helped. They only won like 3 games, but just being there one day got the itch, man.
Right. No, I feel you. A lot of people
get out there and coach. It's so fun.
312-981-7200. Bunch of people want to talk about this, so we'll continue it coming up after 5 o'clock. Kelly, Vicky, you hang in there. 720 WGN.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
720 WGN getting deep. 5 o'clock, 5:07. Good afternoon. Hope you're surviving the cold. It's getting warmer, though. It's going to be 47 on Tuesday.
Good golf in that weather.
That's right. Hampton OB, they'll be out there golfing on a 47, Hampton Cause, right?
God, I love those guys. Therapeutic throughout the season.
So helpful for living your life the right way. All right, I'm Mark Harmon, you're Kevin Powell. It's 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. We're in the parenting of kids in athletics. There's a gentleman that transferred in the middle of the school year / basketball season, heading to Florida to play prep hoops because he wasn't getting enough time on the court. He wasn't being featured enough.
Carm and I are not parents, but we're lecturing parents on how to parent. No, what you were here, listeners are here for.
We're not lecturing. Yeah,
we're also sort of saying like when we're parents.
We're just having a conversation with you. We really appreciate you. 312-981-7200. We have Coach T calling in here. Well, actually, Coach D, hang on a second. Kelly's been waiting since yesterday, so let me get to her, and then we'll get to Coach D. Kelly, what's up here? You reprimanding your daughter? Is that what's going on?
Absolutely. Eight years old. Okay, she's playing softball.
Wow.
Bad call. She got struck out on a bad call.
Okay.
No doubt. She walks away, and she throws her bat down, and I looked at her, and I was like, absolutely not. That is not how you react. And told her, we'll talk after the game, but that is not your reaction. And I made her sit out that inning. I had parents come up to me and say, you were wrong. You need to go talk to that ump. That ump made a bad call.
Wow.
And I go, and I looked at the parent and I said, and you never made a mistake in your life?
Wow. So you were coaching the team, Kelly?
No, I was just a parent, but we had a bad coach 3 years in a row, not a good coach. And I kind of paid a little attention to my daughter and just made sure that she was being taught the proper lessons. And not everybody should receive a trophy. Right. That is, oh,
I love
don't
it.
Don't even get me started on that
Preach, so. Kelly, preach. Hold
on a second, Kelly. I just want to understand the picture. You're sitting in the stands watching the game, she has this reaction, and then you kind of sort of walked over to the dugout and said, "You're not going to play right now."
Absolutely.
Okay. And what does the coach do?
The coach had no choice. I told him it was up to me.
Okay.
And he agreed with me at that point. But some of the other parents, they did not like that.
They didn't like that, huh? How'd your daughter end up taking it?
Good. You know, we talked about it afterwards. She understood that her reaction was bad. You know, we've watched professional games on TV, and she's like, whoa, that wasn't a good reaction. I said, see, do you understand how ridiculous you look?
Right.
You know, it was a bad call. It happens. It's part of the game.
Right. How do you – it's just a curious – just a question, Kelly. How do you allow your kid, if they actually are angry – and it's legit to be, you know, they're allowed to have it. It's a normal emotion, right? How do you encourage them to express that responsibly?
Well, you know, not saying that there really is a right way to do it, but say something, you know, like, oh, come on, that, you know, really, you can still get your aggression out and you can be mad, but you know what? Take that anger to the field.
Okay.
Take it and go make yourself better. You know what? Go make a great play now, because 9 times out of 10, that happens.
Fair enough. Thanks, Kelly. Appreciate you.
Not a problem. Have a great night, guys.
312-981-7200. You see what I was getting at there on the anger? Like, kids, kids are going to have tantrums, man. They're going to get pissed.
Well, I was looking back on it. I probably threw some tantrums playing sports.
Right.
I was so competitive that, like, I would just lose it. I didn't care. You're in the moment. I would yell at everyone.
Right.
And my dad and my parents would say something to me. They were not happy with me after games. Some games.
And even, like, not on the field. Like, you might have a tantrum at home because
If we lost a game, and this went through high school, Carm, this is not a joke. This may sound a bit pathetic, but this is real. I hated losing with a passion. When we lose a football game, I would lock myself in the bedroom after the game. I wouldn't talk to a soul. And if somebody did talk to me at my house after a high school football loss, didn't go well. Did not go well.
So
my dad would go, like, get me food and bring it and be like, Kevin, like, come on. You got to come on. I'm like, no. I was so angry. I would throw stuff back at the house. I was ticked off, man.
So this is high school, Kevin?
This is through high school. I've calmed down a lot. I used to be extremely – I'm still competitive, but I harness it a different way.
Right.
Like a loss was – like I would – I'd get home after a loss, and my mom would be like – you know, just being a mom, trying to be comforting, and she'd be like, you guys looked okay. Like, you played good. And that would just set me off. I'm like, we didn't play good enough, damn it, blah, 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 blah. And I would throw stuff across the house. I'm like, don't talk to me. And I'd run in my room, lock the door.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's intense, man.
I would go off, dude. It was kind of like...
What would you say was the epiphany where you kind of like, okay, I can't do this anymore?
I think it was just I didn't stop playing sport. Like, after high school, I was done. I mean,
right.
You know, but even, like, now my competitiveness is, like, the sports extends to golf, you know? But I used to be even there. I used to be a club thrower. I used to be a punk on the course.
Right. Now?
Now I'm a little more harnessed, but I scream at myself internally. Like, I'll go quiet instead.
Okay.
Like, in my head, I'm like, Kevin, you're an idiot. You suck at golf. How did you slice that ball? That was an easy shot. You dumb idiot, Kevin.
So you...
all that's going through my head with some expletives in there as well.
So a lot of self-beat-up going on here, Kevin.
A lot of self-beat-up.
Okay. When's the last time you threw a club?
Ooh, well... It's like a half throw, maybe.
Okay.
You're kind of walking up to the cart and kind of toss it.
I mean, I
well, when I was younger, I threw my driver at my bag and it broke in half.
I mean, this,
had to make an excuse for my parents.
Let me be clear here. I mean, I'm speaking to how it should be. I have, you know, I play a lot of tennis. This past summer, there was plenty of times where I was.
Oh, remember we had that conversation.
Yeah,
I the racket.
I threw the racket.
I'm
43 years old playing in some competitive thing. Dude, you should be able to have control of your emotions. Sometimes in the moment, I get it. I understand. Hey, Coach T, welcome to 720 WGN. Thanks for being patient, Coach T.
Oh, sure, guys. Hey, I'm a junior high coach for probably one of the most successful high school feeder programs in the state, North Central, and the high school is, you know, multiple state championships.
What high
the
school?
Thing that, Newman Central Catholic High School in Sterling.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And our junior high program, we figured if a kid can't play football, it's our fault. We have to keep our teams small on the junior high level, you know. We take as many kids as we can get, but every kid we get out, the parents know the kids are going to play. We rotate every play. We run a wishbone offense, so you've got three running backs. Every play, there's a new kid rotating in. Every kid knows every position. But winning, our parents know we're not going to sacrifice not putting a kid in for the sake of winning. It's when it's that kid's turn in the backfield or on the line, or at linebacker, whatever position it may be, you know, regardless of the score, when it's that kid's turn on the field, it's his turn on the field, whether he be the best player on the team or maybe somebody that doesn't know his left shoe from his right hand. It's, you know, everybody plays.
So a la Buttermaker in Bad News Bears, when it all came down to it, Buttermaker, get out there, Lupus. You'll put Lupus in when it's Lupus's turn, right, Coach T?
You know, that's the truth. We've got, you know, if you're a 100-pound lineman on the eighth grade level, and guess what? It's your turn to be in the game. It's your turn to be in the game. When they get to high school, kids develop differently. And that's one of the things, we don't coach our own kids. We'll have coaches help out if they've got a kid that's a fifth grader. They can help with the sixth or seventh grade team. When their kid becomes a sixth grader, they can help with the fifth grade team. We don't coach have our assistant coaches coach their own kids. We figure, you know, there's no nepotism, no favoritism. It helps the kids out. The kids know that there's no pressure from their dad on their team, and the dads are hands off. It's leave it up to us that have been coaching forever to you know, make the discipline, which very little discipline goes on. It's the kids are there, they know what's expected of them, and we'll take kids from public schools or our private feeder program schools, because of parents, you know, even if they're not going to go to our Catholic high school, parents will send their kids because they know they're going to play, and that's, we just want kids to learn to play the game the right way, and if you're not on the field playing, you're not learning.
Coach T, it sounds like you're doing everything right. Real quick here, why do you think it's getting worse? I mean, do you think, and I'm assuming you do think it's getting worse, and if so, why do you think that?
Absolutely. We play teams with 40 kids on their teams, and we've seen on their sideline coaches say, "Who's and it's a father." You know, when we play a lot of teams, it's fathers that are coaching. Who's not been in the game? And you'll see, I am not kidding you, 25 hands go up in the fourth quarter, kids that have not seen the field yet. And our team, you know, every other play, somebody's been going in because we only have 24, 25 kids on our team. So they're all starting. If you're not starting on offense, you're starting on defense. But it's just parents are wanting to live their, I think, their playing days through their kids now.
Okay.
And we try to alleviate that by not letting a parent coach his kid.
Thank you, Coach.
Appreciate you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yep, 312-981-7200 if you want to jump on in, 312-981-7200. I mean, I think the whole parents living through the kid.
That's psycho move right there.
But I think it's been going on for a long time. Like, I think there's something more going on now. If it's the money.
Maybe it's just highlighted a little bit more. I mean, there had to have been crazy parents back in the day.
Maybe people are more unhappy now. I don't know. Where they're like, this is it. This is my joy.
Maybe because sports is like at an all-time high in terms of interest and people talking about it.
That's fair.
Right? Has sports ever been bigger in America?
No. The spotlight is... It's
insane.
It continues to grow. Johnny, welcome to WGN. Go ahead, Johnny.
Hey, I like Coach T. I like that his kids are all learning. I like that.
That's awesome, right?
Yeah, well, I was on both sides of the fence because I was kicked out of a junior high volleyball game where my kids are getting murdered 19-4. And there are three net calls in a row, and they didn't call anything. Kids are hanging from the net, spiking them right in the kid's face. So you just get angry as a parent, right? Why aren't they calling that?
Right.
So I got kicked out by the coach from my team who came onto the net and threw me out of the gym. But I think the parents, they want justice, or they want to make sure their kid gets a fair shot. Like the parent who said she had a bad coach, bad call, bad umpire. You know, they just want to make sure their kid gets a fair shake. So later I went to a basketball tournament and my kid was in that and the officials were really bad. And so I decided to become one because I said, you know, I can do better. And I think that they need to have good officials.
And do you enjoy it?
I enjoy it. Yeah. I've been doing it 4 years and I do hear the parents yell stuff. And they yell more about travel than they do. I don't hear, good job, number 24. Good job, Callie. I don't hear that as much as they should. Like, that's what they should focus on is, you know, give them positive reinforcement rather than trying to catch every travel.
That's good feedback there, Johnny. I like that a lot.
Johnny knows what's up.
Appreciate you, Johnny.
They'll enjoy it a lot more, you know.
Right.
They need to enjoy it, and the kids are embarrassed by the parents. So.
Right,
yeah.
There you go.
Thanks, Johnny. Appreciate it. First of all, I like the being positive. And also, if you're going to criticize your kid, if anyone for that matter, criticism with vision.
Coach tell you that?
I've heard that from numerous folk. But yes, of course. I don't have a life coach. But if I did.
I thought you were a life coach guy.
I am a life coach guy, but I don't really have a quote-unquote life coach.
Oh, you have like a life coach group thing you go to, right?
I'm a growthful guy, Kev.
Like to grow as a person?
Life is a learn and grow. It's always about making yourself better. How can you step into your next level of whatever you want to call it? Let's get Vicky in here. Vicky, welcome to 720 WGN. What's up, Vicky?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, I just wanted to offer, you were talking about how you think sports has become so big. I think the issue you're talking about is just really a culture change. I'm a retired teacher. I taught for 34 years, and I also coached high school softball. And I saw over the course of my teaching career that some kids, not all, and it's not all parents, but there was more a sense of entitlement. And, you know, like the parents would, you know, sometimes do the homework for the kids, or if they got a consequence at school for something that they had done, the parents would call me, you know, like, what are you doing? And, you know, in my opinion, I think, you know, the character that you build from making a mistake or, you know, being realistic about your athletic ability or learning how to lose, I think the character you build and the life lessons you learn from that are going to be much more, are going to go much further to, you know, building a successful future for you than being unrealistic about your ability.
No question, Vicky. How do you get people to see that, Vicky? What's your advice, considering your history?
Well, I can tell you what I used to tell parents as a teacher, you know, like I would tell them, you know, like if they were doing the homework for their child, I would say, look, you know, the grade that they get in, you know, third quarter, fourth grade math is not going to make a hill of beans in their future. But the study skills they learn,
yep,
doing it on their own and learning how to ask questions if they need help, that's going to take them much further than this grade that they get. And by the same token, when I coached high school softball, I used to have a parent watch all our practices to make sure her daughter got enough pitching time. And it's not, you know, I tried to tell them, it's not about your child. It's about the team. And, you know, I was all about building character and learning life lessons. But, you know, it was just, I had to keep conferencing with the parents about, you know, my philosophy, and hope they bought into that.
You're talking about process, Vicki. You're not talking about results. You're talking about really loving the process, loving the learning, loving the day-to-day, not worrying about the result. That's what you're all about, correct?
Well, yeah, and I have an athletic background. I like to win. There's no doubt
about it. Of course, of course.
You know, I think, you know, sports done right can really be a character builder.
Thank you, Vicki. Appreciate you. I agree.
You're welcome.
See, that process thing, Kevin, like I was listening to Kobe Bryant talk about it the other day. Like, what are you going to miss most about being in the NBA? I was watching some old Kobe interview because it's what I do with my life.
Right.
And he was, it's not so much like the games. He loved the process of just like getting better, being in the gym, making just an incremental nudge, 0.25 of an inch better, whatever it would be. I can do this move that much quicker. I can get my shot off that much faster, or I can be this much more efficient. Like, he loved doing the process. And I think people that learn how to do process in life, as far as whatever it is, you want to be a great Kevin Powell, a great sports reporter. Well, how do you build that sports report? How do you build that talk show? How do you build that, you know, the whole thing, right?
Yeah, as Joe Maddon said, never permit the pressure to exceed the pleasure.
Right. Process.
Respect the process.
Process,
folks.
Team. You want to take a participation trophy?
Yeah, I mean, people like love riding that train. Well, it's like, then stop giving them to kids. It's like the kids are the ones that are organizing the trophy giving out. It's your parent. You're the parents giving them the participation trophy. And even as a kid, when I got a participation trophy, I'm like, this means nothing to me.
Right, the third place in the Ravinia Field Day.
Like, I don't think that really, really affects kids.
I don't think
everyone loves riding that train.
Well, it's okay, so we agree on that. Like, I don't think it makes you any, oh my God, I don't think anybody's getting the participation.
Yeah, I got a participation trophy. I'm going to get whatever I want in life. That's what I thought when I was 7, and I got a little ribbon that said I participated in a soccer league.
Right.
That's exactly what I thought, that I'm going to get everything I'm entitled. It's like, everybody calm down.
Like,
stop giving them out then if you don't want that everybody to get a participation trophy.
Right, but like, that's the whole point. Like, when I got the third place, I got third place. I didn't win. I got third place.
Right.
Like, oh, it's okay. I did that okay.
It's just a thing you get.
Right. Hey, on that note, Sherry, real quick, what do you want to say about participation trophies?
Sherry?
Hi.
What's up, Sherry? What do you got?
Hi. I feel like we're living in a generation of everybody deserves a trophy. And we're raising our kids to think that everybody deserves a trophy no matter what you do. I was raised rather poor. There's rich, there's poor. I think you get what you deserve in life. And we're raising up families that everybody has to wear Under Armour, or everybody doesn't fit in unless they wear the Nike. I think we're raising a generation of parents putting their kids out there. They have to have piano lessons, dance lessons, soccer, basketball, football. Be good at what you're good at. If you deserve a trophy, you get a trophy.
Okay.
You know, if you're in first place, you're in first place, and you're in third.
Right.
And just raise everybody to be equal.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, Sherry. I was with you on the got to wear the Nike. Got to have the
I'm a big Nike guy.
I try
to only wear Nike. I'll mix in some Under Armour though.
I love a good Under Armour. I got a nice blue gym shoe.
Well, you got the Go Cats hookup.
I got the purple Under Armours. Those are true. But I bought some blues. I love them. The point is, though, like, the 10-year-old running out there with the sleeve on his arm.
That's the best.
Like,
yeah,
okay. And by the way, I had the knee brace at 10 and was folding it over like Michael folded over his knee brace. Okay, I was an idiot. I didn't,
Oh, is that what he did? He folded it over?
He would
fold
over.
I just thought there was a red stripe on it.
He'd fold over the top, yeah.
You wouldn't know that.
McDavid, come on now.
All right, so everybody stop giving out participation trophies because apparently everybody in that older generation all agrees on that because I've heard it 5 million times. So let's just stop giving out participation trophies. Problem solved. The world's going to be okay now. No more participation trophies.
We're going to move on from the conversation. Talk little Blackhawks coming up after 5:30. Scott King, Red Eye, does a great job covering the Blackhawks, also at WGN. We'll be with us. 720 WGN.
Keith lets it rip from out near the blue line. It was blocked in the slot. Keith did a nice job holding it in at the line. Now Kane up in there in left circle. Should he scores? A power play goal! And the Hawks take a 2-0 lead on Carolina. The stingiest penalty kill in the NHL could not hold the Hawks at bay on this power play. Panarin scores from the left circle. 2-0 Hawks.
720 WGN, your home for Chicago Blackhawks hockey. Tomorrow's pregame, 5:30. The Nashville Predators at the United Center, game three of a four-game homestand. The Red Wings coming in for their one and only time Tuesday night. Scott King joining us right now on 720 WGN. Does great work on the Chelsea Blogger podcast with Mike Jacobson. Also,
WGNRadio.com.
That's right, and read him in the Red Eye. Scott, thanks for taking time. How are you this afternoon, sir?
I'm good, Mark. Kevin, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
It is most definitely our pleasure. So, Scott Darling, he wants some playing time here, Scott. I guess he's not really going to get it with Corey Crawford there, but best backup goalie in the NHL, Scott Darling, is that a fair statement?
I think so. I think, what does he have, 11 wins this year? Look, he's played a lot already, and he's looked great every time. How often do you see a backup come in and make 39 saves on 40 shots? That's a season high of 40 shots they faced last night, too. And Quinville actually said he kind of hinted he might see some time just because he's been playing so well earlier in the season. But, yeah, I mean, and then what's going to happen when after this season?
Hey Scott, I asked this question to Eddie O yesterday. I want to get your thoughts on it. The sure. Duo of Corey Crawford, Scott Darling, best combo in the National Hockey League?
I don't know who's better. I honestly don't even know which names you could say are better than that. Just in Crawford, you have a guy who's so good each night, who gives the team a chance to win each night, and then there's also those two Stanley Cups. And,
right.
And Darlene, I mean, you look how big he is. You look how athletic he is, the saves he can make post to post. He did the splits again last night. I mean, that's just so many saves.
He took
made.
Over and, last and night. That was impressive. That was fun to watch.
He did entirely. Look, I think the Hawks have been playing well, but they've had an issue with shot suppression this season, and they're allowing a lot of shots. There's been so many games when Crawford and Darling have to make 30-plus saves, and you know that's going to tire those guys.
Scott, we're still quite a ways away from the trade deadline. That's, I believe, February 18th, end of February anyways. But
yeah.
I think this is sort of the point of the season where we kind of know what a team is, who they are. Is there an area with this roster you've identified or sort of spotlighted that they can improve on via trade? If they can pull something off, I know they're right up against the cap. So, I mean, if they could improve one area, what would it be?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's funny how quickly that question, the answer, can change in just a few days
right.
here. I mean, a few days ago, you have rumors that they're looking at Jerome Iginla to be a top six forward. And then last night, Vinny Hinostroza looks amazing playing with Jonathan Toews. So now I think they're covered in top six guys. I think a lot of other writers and media do. Just the only issue I see a little bit is with depth. But you do have you get Kruger back, and that's great up the middle for bottom six. And Hartman's playing really well. Those other guys down there, Rasmussen, Desjardins can play well. I just think their defense is so stacked. I don't think there's a lot that they would need to do. And to be honest, I mean, let's talk about their cap space. I don't know what they could make happen. So I think we're going to see what they've been doing since the beginning of the season. That's kind of building from within. I think you'll see that bus from Rockford to continue to go back and forth, giving these young guys a shot.
Red Eye Scott King joining us here on 720 WGN, also doing great work at WGNRadio.com. Chelsea Blogger, check it out, talking some Blackhawk. So Marian Hossa, things look better when Marian Hossa's on the ice, Scott King. Did he
Good
find
God.
The? I mean, I guess the fountain of youth. He found it in the off season with the extra rest and all that. Is that? I mean, how do you break that down?
No, exactly right. I mean, that's how much people forget. Like I think it was before this year, people were calculating, they actually played an entire season more than all the other teams. And you talk about guys who get up in age like Hossa like that, and that's, you know, that's a lot on your body. And the thing about Hossa is every training camp, he shows up looking like a Greek god. I just think, you know, with his age and how long he's played, that you just start to see his shooting percentage go down a little bit. He never really, you know, is out of shape as the season goes on. It's never that he's not shooting enough. It's the shooting percentage. But I actually asked Kane about it a few weeks ago, and Kane said he has the super genes. So, I mean, just great. He's got 16 goals. He was tied for the lead with Anisimov before two nights ago, so who has 18 goals. So, no, he's been great, and there's been a lot of timely goals too, some overtime winners, some goals when they're down a goal or two. So he's just been huge. He's been their savior all season, I think.
Winning a Stanley Cup, obviously not easy. The road to the Stanley Cup is not easy for the Blackhawks. Who's the toughest opponent, biggest roadblock when we do get there? I know this is a ways away, but sort of looking at the way things are panning out in the Western Conference, who do you think will present the biggest issues, the toughest opponent for this Hawks squad?
Yeah, for me, it's still a little bit hard to judge. You know, I know they obviously had trouble in St. Louis on Monday at the Winter Classic, but I mean, that's, both teams are facing the same conditions, but the ice wasn't that bad, actually. But, you know, the puck was bouncing all over. Those outdoor games are hard to judge. And the Wild, who are 3 points behind the Hawks in the Central, just had a nice, I think they had like a 9-game winning streak before they lost to Columbus, who had ended up having a 16-game winning streak. So, the Wild are going to be a tough team to play, and I don't think they play them in a while. That's going to be an interesting matchup the next time they play them. If the Predators tomorrow, who are pretty beat up, so I wouldn't worry too much about them, but you can't take any team lightly in the West or in the NHL. So I think the Wild's going to be an interesting matchup, honestly.
Teuvo Teravainen back at the United Center last night, Scott. He's got 9 goals, 11 assists on the season. His plus-minus is dead even at 0. Did the Blackhawks not – a lot of Blackhawks fans were worried that Teuvo was going to become a star. Is that, in your opinion, do you think that he's going to fall short of that?
Well, you can argue already that he's a star, the way Carolina's marketing him. It's interesting. I was just reading up on some notes and some stories before the game, and you have him as the thumbnail for a lot of stories. So they might even had a Teravainen bobblehead night there in Carolina. I think they're building him up there to be a star, and they're kind of carrying him as that already. I think he's a little bit better than maybe when he was with the Hawks. I think he has to develop a little more. He's got to be a little better defensively. I think he can shoot the puck more, obviously something Joel Quenneville wanted him to do, and that's at times why he was a healthy scratch here in Chicago. So he has the potential. I mean, you look at all those highlight reel goals he has. Definitely has the potential. I don't know if he's a league superstar yet.
The captain, Jonathan Toews, finally seems like he's getting it going. 2 goals, 3 assists in his last 5. He's been sort of off to a slow start. He had that injury. You think he's finally fully healthy now? And obviously, what sort of impact have you seen him make since he's been back on the ice?
Yeah, no, I think he is finding a stride again. Like you said, 5 points in his last 5 games. And I think Vinny Hinostroza and him had some great chemistry last night. They're going to keep that line together. I mean, you see Hinostroza save icing and then make a great play to get Toews the puck there. Almost had 2 goals for Toews. Toews scored on his first goal on a feed from Hinostroza. But I think, you know, something you always count on Toews for is the faceoffs, and you're getting that out of Anisimov too. So he's great defensively, and his hands are getting better right now. I think you're going to start to see everything you expect and need out of Jonathan Toews.
Scott, there was a pretty cool story with Spencer Abbott earlier this week. Well, cool, but sort of a little bittersweet, I think. See, he's a journeyman, 28-year-old. Yeah. He's been tearing it up at Rockford offensively, played 1 NHL career game. They bring him up, he plays a game, and then they send him down. So now he's got 2 under his belt. So congrats to Spencer Abbott. But do you think he is a guy that maybe could provide some offense maybe later on in the season? I know Q didn't completely rule it out, but what did you see from him? Do you think he's somebody that can contribute down the stretch?
Well, it was a great short story for now. Let's say that. Yeah. It's really, I think in the NHL you need about 3 games with that speed and how tough the game is to really judge what a guy can do. And, you know, I know he played well in the Swedish Hockey League last year, and 21 points in 30 games in Rockford, shared the team lead. So, you don't just put up those numbers even in the AHL without having skill and being able to be some kind of an impact player in the NHL. Maybe you see him come back up and be a bottom six guy in a third or fourth line. But I think everybody needs a lot more games to judge, including Quenneville.
Am I wrong to fall in love with a Vinny Hinostroza? I mean, he came on the show, yeah. Scott. So I'm biased. He was very talkative. I enjoyed him. I feel like when he's on the ice, the exciting things happen. How do you feel about Hinostroza?
Yeah, just that play to save icing that I was describing a minute ago. That was maybe the fastest I've seen him, and I think, I mean, I want to say 9.5 out of 10 guys would not have been able to make that play and to get there before the defender. He's so fast. He's so quick. He just has these bursts of speed. And I was talking to him early in the year, and he knows how fast he is. He knows he can use that. But he's talking about he's trying to get, you know, control of his hands and handling the puck while he's getting those quick bursts of speed. So I think he's finally put his whole game together. He can beat defenders, and he can still hang on to the puck and pass it to Taves in front of that or make a shot. So I think just his speed alone is great, and now he's kind of putting his whole game together.
55 points. Best in the Western Conference, knocking on the door with the Blue Jackets if I lost again.
Can I ask you something real quick, Scott? Sure. I know they lost, what, 5 of 6? And a lot of people had been talking about, well, there's going to be a market correction with this team. Their record is better than who they are and all this and that. But they're still in first. And you look back at all the injuries they've had. I mean, it's just another testament to Q and the depth of this roster, right? I mean, I don't... Are you anticipating any sort of drop-off or market correction, as people have been calling it?
No, I don't think so. You look what's happened. They've won 2 games in a row now. They're going to play a team, because they're beat up, that they should beat tomorrow. So, yeah, they lost those 5 out of 6. They only grabbed 3 out of a possible 12 points in that skid there. But I think, look, with all the 5-6 rookies, the injuries, like you said, I think hanging on to first place in the Central alone,
yeah,
you know, virtually all season and many times – over the whole NHL here. And look, there's some great stats in their favor. They have 15 wins at home. That's second in the league. So they're a great home team. Another one, they've won so many one-goal games, and that's going to come in so handy in the playoffs. They're 16-6-5 in one-goal games. I mean, that's huge.
Wow.
Talk about how tight the games get going into the playoffs. And, you know, like we talked about earlier, no one's going to beat their goaltending. Their top two lines are trending upward, and they're so deep on defense. I think they're going to put a nice streak together here. Hopefully you get 3 games versus a very beat-up Predators tomorrow, and I think it's going to go on from there, and I think everything is trending upward for them overall.
5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock puck drop right here on 720 WGN tomorrow. Hawks going for their 3rd win in a row. Scott, appreciate the time as always. Thanks for jumping on.
Scott, what's your Twitter account?
Thanks,
I need to look you up on the tweeters.
Oh, thanks. At Scott King Media.
Love it. Check his stuff at WGNRadio.com. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Scott King talking some Blackhawks. Again, the Hawks, the Predators, right here, 720 WGN. Coming on back with, we've got Press Box.
Yeah, we got to touch on this.
We have a major, major issue of what's going on right now. The media is under attack.
The war on the media.
720 WGN. WGN 550. Hope you're having a great Saturday. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Kevin Powell. Good to have you along with you till 7. Amy Guth warming up in the bullpen. The Saturday night radio special with Amy starting at 7 o'clock tonight. And again, don't forget, double dip of sports tomorrow on 720 WGN. The Northwestern Wildcats on the road.
Obviously got a win.
At Nebraska, 115, I believe, our pregame
tomorrow.
That
Minnesota game stung, Carm.
It did, man.
It really did felt like, okay. Those were the games they've been losing over the past few years that it's like, and then they're winning this, and they're playing well, and they go cold from behind the arc.
Great atmosphere out there.
I got to get to a game. You seem like a big Cats, to a lot of Cats games.
You go to a Mustard's Last Stand, Kevin Powell, you get yourself a double cheeseburger, have a hot dog, maybe throw in a milkshake.
That's huge.
I mean, it's you know, right next to the stadium, you can't beat it. In the Big Ten today, if you're interested, Penn State beat Michigan State at home, 72-63. Maryland wins at Michigan, 77-70. The Wolverines are 1-2. And Indiana right now, the Hoosiers are 0-2. But they're bombing.
After beating Kansas and North Carolina, or Kentucky and North Carolina?
Indiana has had a quite a run this year for the
Hoosier fans, not big Tom Crean fans. If you talk to a Hoosier fan, they're not a fan of his.
I'm not a huge Tom Crean. They beat Carolina back in the end of November. And they also beat KU opening night. in overtime. But, in the, but then they've lost to Nebraska, and then they lost to Louisville, then they lost to Wisconsin. They're going to beat Illinois. So
in the National Football League, the Texans beating the Raiders. Wild card weekend, 20-7. Houston's going to win that game.
And then later tonight, it's Detroit. And
I'm interested in that game. The only way the Lions win is on Matthew Stafford's arm. He's got to have a huge day.
Well, he had that finger issue, right? And it, which seems
he's got it dislocated at the tip of his throwing middle finger.
But it seems to have gotten better. So I hope Detroit wins. They haven't won a road game since 1957 in the playoffs. Last time they
won a while. They've lost 10 straight playoff road games.
Yeah, and the last time they won a playoff game was 1992. 92.
Wow.
I mean, that's, you know, you're getting to, I mean, the Bears are.
Seattle's going to win, though.
Yes, they most likely will. I'm tempted to give a little more. What's going on around the college basketball landscape today, Kevin Powell?
You're feeling college hoops?
Well, I just, I'm looking.
Illinois State, did they play earlier?
Fear the bird?
They had a nice win over Missouri State the other day.
Can you?
Yeah, big win for ISU today, 77-58 over Indiana State. Larry Bird's squad.
NIU 86, Central Michigan 83. Go Huskies.
Salukis won, beat Missouri State 75-67. Bradley play tonight.
Notre Dame over Clemson 75-70. Seton Hall bombed DePaul 87-56.
Is DePaul ever going to get good again? You're the hoops guy.
I mean, they're going in a new stadium next year.
So that's going to make them better?
I don't know. Probably not. Dave Lato, bring him back. It's not exactly working out great. The Panthers of Eastern Illinois, 74. Eastern Kentucky, 60.
Illinois State, 4-0 in the Missouri Valley Conference.
Fear the bird.
Fear the bird.
Western Illinois, 86. Oral Roberts, 71.
Classic Oral Roberts.
The Leathernecks, former home of Fred Carman. Papa Fred played some football back there.
Yeah? Leathernecks?
He was a Leatherneck. He went to Western Illinois.
Were you a Western guy?
Was I Western? I went to Iowa, sir.
Oh, that's right, the Hawkeyes.
Yeah.
Are you going to go when Iowa visits Welsh Ryan Arena in about 10 days
that's,
or so?
That's next Sunday night. Come on, of course.
Maybe I'll go.
Yeah, you want in?
Yeah, I'll meet you at Mustard's Last Stand.
All right.
Great dog.
I got, I love you coming out to Welsh Ryan.
I haven't been there.
You've never been to a game
at
Welsh Ryan?
No.
Never been to a Cat Hoop game.
Most
underrated game experience in town, a Cat Hoop game.
Last time I was in Welsh Ryan was when I was still producing Cochrane. We did a show inside there.
I remember that show. Or at least I remember a show there.
Only sporting event I've witnessed in Welsh Ryan was wrestling, the Midlands Tournament, which is one of the premier wrestling tournaments in the country. Some of the best wrestlers.
Papa Fred used to take me to the Midlands back in the day. Yep, end of December, the Midlands.
It's fun.
Little December 29th.
It's hardcore, man. Those are like nut wrestlers. Wrestlers are insane. Did you ever go to a Hawkeye wrestling match when you were at Iowa?
No.
Doubtful?
No.
Karm was busy on the futon.
I mean.
Chiefing away.
I just.
Watching the Food Channel.
Simpsons were on at 4.
I was a big Food Network guy in college.
That doesn't surprise me.
Nah, it's not surprising.
And then you got Bulls basketball tonight. It's on WGN-TV. Your Chicago Bulls and the Toronto Raptors, a 7 o'clock tip-off.
You going?
I'm thinking about it.
How many Bulls games do you go to a year?
23. Try to hit the Jordan quota.
I haven't been to a Bulls game in years. 847 says, Carm, you're the best. I listen to you every weekend. Keep up the best sports show on the radio.
Thanks from Scott, my man. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
Scott, include Dan Long in there. Man's slaving. Are we going all the way to the top here, Dan Long slaving?
Yes, we are.
Okay, beautiful. So, all right. Okay, coming up after 6 o'clock. We don't have time to do the whole
thing. Well, I was going to take the next 3 minutes because every time I host with you, I talk about food.
Yeah, okay. Let's hear it.
So should we break down what I should eat for dinner? Because I really want...
Okay, Kev, let's hear... What's the dinner plan tonight?
Well, I need some red meat in my life.
Okay.
And I know Elwood's has Saturday's prime rib night.
So you're thinking about going out to Elwood's on Tui and Lincoln for a prime rib?
I might go by myself like a nerd, sit at the bar...
That's not a nerd move. That's a confident play. You never know who you run into.
Get
like
a Schlitz and a prime rib.
You
king
go,
cut.
King cut primey with a schlitzy.
Rare. Medium rare, closer to rare. Like
really?
A bloody. Oh, yeah.
It's aggressive.
It's delicious.
So I was reading something at the beginning of this. Where is this at?
Elwood's.
Okay. I have to be there.
It's Saturday night is prime rib night. What? No big deal. Phenomenal prime rib.
You and Kev tonight going for prime rib?
I have to work, so.
He's got to work. That's unfortunate.
But that's, I'm going to put that in my back pocket.
What kind of work
have it handy for later.
What kind of work you doing tonight, Dan?
The Nocturnal Journal with Dave Hoekstra, Saturday nights, 9 to 11.
Long, a machine.
Do you do that every Saturday? I thought you were done doing that.
Nope, every Saturday.
Carm, you got a date tonight? You want to go to Elwoods?
Elwoods is not far from my place.
Oh, really?
I mean,
Menu. I love looking at menus before I go to restaurants. It's like the most fun thing ever.
Rib chicken combo at Elwoods is a nice.
Oh, very good.
It's a nice solid look.
Big Elwoods guy. They should bring us some food after all these plugs. Where are you going to eat tonight? You're a big, like, you go out a lot to dinner, right?
Yes, every night.
So where are you going?
I mean,
I like to break down your order for you. I'll bring up the menu here. We'll talk appetizer. We'll talk entree.
I'll probably
not a big dessert guy, but if you are, I'll find a dessert for you.
Great chance I'll be in the United Center press room.
Oh, okay.
But if I go out for dinner tonight, if I don't go to the Bulls game tonight, I'll probably go home. I'll probably watch Detroit and Seattle. I'll probably watch Bulls Toronto. It's probably an easy night for me, Kev. I probably pick up a Hubs 51.
Wow.
Get myself a half chicky.
Big time.
Maybe a little soup action. Type of thing. You know,
the King Cut Prime Rib at Elwoods is $33. It's a bit stiff for me, Carm. I may just have to go to my local watering hole and get some chicken tenders and a beer. I think I'm bailing on Elwoods.
Too expensive on a 33?
That's a lot.
Yeah, but it's a King Cut Prime Ribby.
Oh, it's so good. A little horseradish on the side.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Maybe some cream spinach.
You should.
It's so good.
You should see Kevin's face just light up.
It's phenomenal. Get myself an old fashioned there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Little salad or no?
No reason.
Not into it. You mow a bread? What goes
on? Their bread's good.
Good
they
bread.
They give you a little bread with
fresh
knife
loaf.
Oh, yeah.
What, does the family go to Elwoods? Is that a family thing?
Yeah, we go. Family thing.
Right. Feels like a family thing.
I mean, Elwoods is big time. For me to just randomly go there and order myself a $33 King Cut Prime Rib from Elwoods is a bit aggressive. I'm not made of money, Carm. I don't know if you knew that.
It's a $40 dinner for you.
Throw an old-fashioned in, maybe $60, one or two or three schlitzes.
It's a $70 dinner.
It's a $70 dinner, Carm.
You earned it, man. You worked hard. You had a solid afternoony. I think you're allowed. I think I'm encouraging you to live your life. Should Kevin go to Elwoods and spend a nice $65 on dinner by himself tonight? 3-1.
Whoa! Breaking news.
Yeah,
folks. 773 chiming in. Elwoods is participating in Chicago Restaurant Week. They have especially priced meals. Kevin can go then and dine for less. But is the prime rib on that menu? I need prime rib in my life. I need it.
I mean,
847 says they have a tough time getting into Elwoods. That could be an issue. I'd probably go to the bar instead of the bar by myself like a loser.
See, I like getting to a restaurant and waiting. I'm pro wait.
Yeah. What?
Yes, you have a cocktail.
Are you nuts?
You have a cocktail. Relax.
Yeah, if you're going to the bar, I thought you meant like standing by the door and waiting in a line.
You go up to the bar.
Cool with that.
Yeah, you have a
but
moment.
You know what I'm not cool with? Like once I'm done and the check's paid, like let's go. Like, sometimes with my family and my mom and grandma drink coffee for like an hour.
No, it's time to go.
It's like, let's go.
It's time to go.
I'm done.
Long dinner.
Have coffee at home.
People are telling you to order the apple strudel.
I'll give it a shot.
All right, 6 o'clock. Let's send that radio segment to the Hall of Fame. I thought that was solid. Kev's dinner.
That's how you fill an extra 4 minutes when we had nothing Kev's, planned. You talk food.
Kev's dinner.
Elwood's menu.
That legit was kind of planned in a way because you definitely said at least 5 times.
This whole show for the last 3 hours I've been waiting for a spot to talk food.
Right.
And that was it right.
Right. So you found your window and you went for it.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
Party jams.
Let's yeah,
go.
Baby.
6 o'clock hour. We finished strong around here, Carm.
That's exactly right. We power through. We push to the finish line.
Damn right.
There is no finish line, though, at WGN. It just keeps going and going. Amy Guth coming up at 7. All right. Huge story from...
Huge.
From Philly. Dateline Philadelphia. He's Kevin Powell. I'm Mark Carmen. It's 720 WGN. Listen up. It's very important. Okay, this was last Sunday. There's a beat writer by the name of Jeff McClain.
Classic McClain.
Philadelphia Inquirer. John McClain, the John McClain, little diehard action. Not John McClain, but Jeff McClain. All right? Jeff McClain was sitting in the press box at what they call the Link.
Oh, the Link. Classic Link.
It's where the Eagles play their home football games.
Short for Lincoln Financial Field.
Right. Conversation that turned into a slight argument, but nothing out of the ordinary was going on inside the old press box, okay?
And yeah, go ahead.
About 10...
Well, the reporters, we should clarify, weren't arguing with each other. They were talking amongst themselves about a play that occurred on the field, and they were all sort of clarifying, maybe a little bit loud, but it wasn't so much an argument as just more of like a friendly debate type thing.
Right. Kevin and I weren't there, but apparently there was a penalty. They were debating whether the penalty was legit, having a conversation. They're in the press box. It's the working area. So...
And apparently the reporters were too loud in the press box.
But so it was a normal conversation, nothing unusual. But then about 10 or 15 minutes later, security shows up at McLean's little desk there and says, "Yo, McLean, you're out of here, buddy."
Let's rat her out. It's Ann Gordon, the team's senior vice president of marketing, media, and communications.
Well, first it was security. Then Ann Gordon comes running down. As you mentioned, I love her title, the senior vice president of marketing, media, and communication.
And you know she told him that that's her title when she walked up.
She's got a pin. There's no doubt about it. So she comes down and says, "Yo, buddy, get out of here. You're done." And so now these, you know, the other media is like looking around, seeing their guy get kicked out. And all of us in media, you know, we're competitive with each other. We all want the same thing, the whole thing. But, you know, when you attack one of us, we will come to the defense of our fellow man. All right? And so everybody else in that Philly press box was sitting there saying, "Hey, you can't kick out McLean." So then Ann Gordon gets out and says, "And if you don't like it, I'll kick you out as well." So apparently McLean... Well, not apparently. McLean calls up his paper, says, "What do you want me to do?" And they say, "Okay, just you know, don't cause any more trouble. Just get on out of there." And so he leaves. Now, why is this interesting? Well, I find, okay, number one, I want the people that cover sports to be passionate. I want them to have opinions. I want them to be biased. I want all of that. Why was Ron Santo one of my favorite, at least, color commentators of all time? Because he wore his heart on his sleeve, cheering in the press box, right? I mean, it's the WGN radio booth at the time. But there was a lot of cheering there. What made the Bears broadcast back in the day so great on WGN? Because you'd hear Dick Butkus screaming in the background like a complete lunatic as the play's going on, yelling things like fumble or whatever else. Like, that's fun, man. And so McLean is having a passionate argument in the booth. That should be supported, Kevin Powell. The dude should be getting a raise.
Now, was it made clear if other reporters were complaining about him?
That's what happened. So these other reporters...
So that's true. Other reporters were complaining that guys were talking too loudly?
Right. So rather than actually having a conversation saying, "Hey, Jeff, man, can you keep it down?"
I'm not going to, like, preach press box etiquette because I've really only spent, like, I've been in and out of press boxes for a few years now, but I've spent, like, a full year on the beat in the press box. I'm not some 20, 30. You've been in press boxes for, what, the past 20 years, Carmen? Going to Bulls games, watching
been
whatnot. Going
Bulls,
to Cubs games.
Bulls, Cubs, Bears.
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 You know, the Bears press box, a couple. It's not all that quiet in there.
It's pretty quiet.
But it's not that quiet. But we were talking about this with John Williams. It's kind of funny. And, you know, the baseball season, both at Wrigley and the Cell, the press boxes are pretty quiet. It's nice when summer arrives because they finally pop the windows open.
Right.
And you can feel the atmosphere of a game.
Right.
But it's stiff, man.
Yeah. In April, you're sitting in the press box.
And it's cold. It's tight. I'm afraid to make any. I just sit there and stay quiet and mind my own business.
Well, what happens? You know, listen, if you're like, okay, let's say you're somebody that's worked all day and you're like a Kevin Powell coming over from WGN after preparing for the show, doing sports. You come out there in April, do a Cub game. They got the windows closed.
Mm-hmm.
It's 8 o'clock at night. Baseball game. I would say there's at least a 78% chance you're falling asleep. It's so quiet in there. At some point, you're taking like at least a 4-minute nap. Not to rat you out, and I don't know if you ever have.
No. I've never taken a nap.
No.
During a game or no? Absolutely not.
Oh my God.
I would say it's not so much the night going after the doing the show in the afternoon, there's been times where I'm just so comfortable, like a beautiful like June Sunday game, you know, maybe a noon first pitch. I go to Wrigley and the windows are open. It's just gorgeous. There's a light breeze coming through. Not because I'm just so tired. It's so peaceful. Like, I'm like, I could just nap right now. This is wonderful. And I've seen people taking naps during those Sunday games. I've seen it.
Of course.
Not going to say who, but it's, you know.
Of course you have. But, here,
but they're kind of clicky, though. Like, you know, because the radio course. People are sort of in an area. Then, like, your beat reporters that are, like, there every day for, you know, before, during, and after are sort of in one area of the press box. Like, at the Cell, it's kind of nice because it's not so much of, like, at Wrigley, the press box is like four rows and everyone's sort of bunched together, where the Cell, it's down the first baseline. It's like a longer stretch. It's like old boxes they turned into the press box.
Right.
So like you're sort of – all the radio people are at the very end of the press box, and it's sort of like guarded off by windows. So it's a little bit easier to kind of have conversations and shoot the breeze a little bit.
Yeah, you're higher up at Wrigley, but it's a much better seat. Okay. Well, here's my question, 312-981-7200. A lot of times I hear from people, you're biased.
Okay, we were talking about this earlier. You said you prefer that people are that sports media people are biased. That's what you would prefer.
Not only yes, I prefer it, but I also like just want it to be acknowledged. Like, there's nobody who's covering a game in this town that doesn't have some form of motivation.
That's true. For a large. For a large amount of people that are in sports media in this town, pull for winning. Whether they are some bitter sports fan and they are trying to stay biased and what or unbiased, it's always good for business if you carry, say, the Bears on your station and they're winning. If you say carry the Blackhawks right. and they're winning, so that's good for your radio station. It's good to talk about. It's good for business and all that. We briefly touched on this earlier. What I was saying is that everybody, you're right. You're right. They have a bias watching the game, whatever game that may be. But when they spit out their product, whether it's a column, whether it's a game recap, whether it's us talking right now, whether you're on TV talking about it, it depends on the angle where you're going. If you're a reporter, you want unbiased. If you're a beat reporter covering the Cubs, you don't want – what do you want? Somebody to be passionate about it and like start – you can't have like a meathead sports fan reporting on. You're not going to get the facts then. It's going to be blurry and then not so accurate.
Like, okay, and some of these guys might perhaps disagree with me, but like when I'm reading the Bulls,
Los Bulls,
and Derrick Rose is on the Bulls. Okay, Joe Colley's got beef with Derrick Rose. I mean, it's like obvious. Okay, beyond obvious. So when I enjoyed Derrick. So reading Colley, I'd be like, it just always garnered a reaction. Like, it wasn't just reading your standard piece. Like,
Colley's column wasn't some just thing. He had a lot of good information in there that were facts to back it up.
Right.
I mean, he was mostly exposing where some reporters are going to be picky and choosy on the angle. Colley doesn't care. That's why he's great. I love reading Colley.
Right. But
he had facts. It wasn't just him bashing Rose. It was a lot of collected facts and reporting, things like that, pushed into it. And then, yeah, Carm, I mean, maybe it was the way it was put out had a little more opinion in it.
Right. I mean, a lot of the guys that I talk to, they'll be like, I don't care who wins. I'm like, no, of course you do. You either want to work more or want to work less. You either like the players on the team or you don't like the players on the team. You either like management or you don't like management. You either want them to be successful or you don't. And that, by the way, can change year to year. There's certain teams that, you know, like, I guess I'm stating the obvious here, but like certain teams that are really likable, certain teams that are not. And it changes year to year. The Cubs right now, if you're covering the Cubs as you are, Kevin, like, how can you not like that team?
100%.
I've said that.
I mean, yeah. Even down the stretch.
But by the end of the year, like, you're burnt. Like, you're ready for it to be over, right? I mean,
yeah,
that's like
yeah.
a lot of guys. That's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of guys by the end of the year, please just get it over with. Like, they don't want them to go to the World Series because they don't want to work anymore.
Yeah, 100%.
So I mean that's real and that's fine. But I don't know. I'm just looking for some honesty in this world. And if
I think there are genuinely reporters that don't care, though, Kyle.
Like, you can't. I just, whatever. I'd like to tell.
Like, people that are just on the beat, and all they do is put out no opinions. They just put out facts. They put out notes in the pregame, what Joe Maddon said. Then they recap the game. Chris Bryant hit a home run in the third inning, and John Lester pitched 8 shutout innings, blah, 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 throwing some quotes. That's what they do. Some of them just do that. They just do game recaps, essentially.
Right, but that guy either A.
I think those people would majority of them probably just don't care. They want the season to be over as soon as possible.
Well, okay. Let's say it's Mark Gonzalez of the Tribune, Gonzo, and I don't know the answer to this, but he either A, wanted to keep working or not keep working. B, he either wanted to be able to say covered a World Series and did all that, or just didn't care at all.
I think some of the people I've been around,
I like the guys that enjoy it.
Some of the guys that you know I've talked to throughout the year. I'll give you an example: Bruce Levine. He's been covering baseball in this town for a long. He loves it. He is passionate about it.
Right.
He'll be at spring training every day.
Yeah, he wants both teams to do well.
It's good
for him,
and I love talking to him about it because he's been covering it for so long, and he's not bitter about it. He's passionate about. I'm not saying he's sitting there actively rooting for them, but he loves the game. He loves the teams, I think, or at least he covering them for sure.
He wants the story. He wants baseball to be relevant.
So you're saying, like, in deep down, he's rooting for the team.
Yeah, for his own personal interest.
But you want people to be honest. There's no benefit of Bruce Levine coming out saying, "Yeah, I'm rooting for the Cubs," or me coming out, or you coming out, or anybody covering each team to be like, "Yeah, I'm rooting for them." I mean, what's the point? I mean, it can invalidate you a little bit.
I don't think that people are robots. I think that everybody has an opinion. Do you like a chocolate shake or a vanilla shake?
Vanilla.
Okay, exactly.
But I think you're looking into it a little bit more. I think that the common fan isn't thinking, "Oh, I wonder if this reporter is biased or not."
I would read. Well,
we and you are different. We're nuts sports guys. We work in the media. It's different. Some guy that goes to Chicago Tribune.com and is reading what happened in the Cubs game isn't sitting there and be like, who is the reporter who reported on this? I wonder if they were biased when they were watching this.
No, but I like knowing the dude's all in and is, you know, not just sort of just collecting a paycheck. 312-981-7200. Is this resonating with anyone?
John's right, yeah. Let's get John.
John, what's up, man? Welcome to WGN.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, John.
Hey, I think you guys are really on track, and if you look at it, it really should fall into one of three categories for me. It's either reporting, or it's analysis, or it's opinion.
Right.
And if it's reporting, tell me what's going on and let me draw my own conclusions.
Yeah.
Now, on the other end of the spectrum, it's opinion. I know it's your opinion, and you've told me that. This is my opinion. And I think right down the middle, kind of, is, you know, teach me something. If it's analysis, teach me something. Tell me why that happened. What coverage were they in? Mm-hmm. You know, what play were they running? And that's how I kind of look at it. Don't disguise it. If it's your opinion and you're biased, you know, don't try to say it.
No, I'm with you, John. I think that's perfectly. And that's, I guess, sort of what I was trying to say is there is bias there, but it's when you're delivering whatever you're delivering, whatever the media may be, if you're just writing a game recap, you can't put bias in that. But then if Carm and I call you and you're a beat reporter and we want to have you on to talk about the Cubs, give us your opinion. That's fine. I just think it's sort of the venue you're in and the medium that you're delivering your information and how you're delivering it. So I think you're spot on, where I think Carm and I have been in that situation where it's reporting, and right now it's more of an opinion type thing. But when I go to Wrigley, it's reporting. So I think it's just sort of the environment you're in and how you're delivering whatever it is you're delivering.
I mean, my coverage on the station, the teams that I'm around, the Bulls, the Cubs, I'm heavily biased.
We know Carm. I watched Carm throughout most of the Cubs postseason and World Series. You were basically just a fan sitting among the press.
Right, and I'm going to tell you honestly what's going on. And I don't think there's any. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm not sitting there trying to be some unbiased journalist.
John, thank you, by the way. We appreciate the input.
I want to know if that...
Thank you.
I wonder if that... Does that work for you, John? Do I need to be more level-headed for you? Never mind. John left us.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut John off there.
Like, I mean, if I'm not going to go... You know what I'm saying? Like,
Because I think... Okay, here's what I think is a little bit different. I think it's a fine line with you because you are an intelligent sports fan. And...
I'm going to give a fair, balanced analysis. Okay, but I want the team to win.
Right. That's different. Some people are going to watch the Cubs, and if you're not a Cub fan, they don't like you. No matter what, the Cubs are the best of the best of the best. And there's some Bears fans who are out there, the Bears are the best of the best of the best.
Right.
Okay, so that's where that fine line becomes, because there are people that are just diehard diehards that are going to be rooting for a team no matter what, and they're the favorite, and they're the best, and they hate every other team.
Right.
You're smart enough to recognize, well, it doesn't exactly work, and you're honest about it. So it's a little bit different.
So, right. Exactly. So I expect a reporter to have his biases, just like we all do in every walk of everything we do. What car do you drive? What do you drink? We all have our opinions, man. And it's been developed over a period of time.
You're a big chocolate milk milkshake guy, huh?
I would never order a vanilla shake over a chocolate shake. I'd drink a vanilla shake if you handed it to me. If there wasn't chocolate syrup, I'd have the vanilla shake. But I would never willingly go vanilla. Unless I was going like a cookies and cream, that would be like as vanilla as I would get.
I'm a big vanilla guy.
Right.
Big vanilla
that's
guy.
That's bizarre to me. You're like a flavor guy.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a big sweets guy anyway. It's okay. So but that, I was that, looking at Elwood's menu, and they got key lime pie. That looks phenomenal.
312-981-7200. I like to know.
I think honestly, you're probably in the minority here because most people listening aren't reading a game recap of the Cubs and be like, I wonder what Mark Gonzalez really thinks about this.
I'm not expecting like Gonzo or whatever, Paul Sullivan or Gordon Whitmire or Bruce Miles. Our great beat writers covering the teams, Barry Rosner. I'm not expecting them to sit there and like so I can like feel the rah-rah. But I also like a lot of these guys will say, I have no
yeah,
a lot of the media is like,
I don't care.
Yes,
who are
do.
They saying that to though?
No,
you
say it
in
to
the
me.
Press box. Right. They're not saying it to everyone else.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I think it's just irking you. I don't think there's a common fan out there who's feeling the Mark Carmen vibe where it's like Can't they just admit they're not
well? Like people that
biased
people that didn't like Sano. I hate Sano. He never says anything.
Nah, I love that angle. I mean,
like, come on, man.
And people look. I mean,
and so like
Hawk Carlson's
right.
Not
I what he think
was,
Hawk's great.
Like to me, like people are like, oh, I want more of the analysis, and it's like then just look it up yourself. There's like an unbelievable amount of websites and information. I enjoy the passion, to be honest. I do.
I mean, listen to the games that we have on the station. Dave Ennett is as passionate about Northwestern as you possibly can be, and so is John Weideman with the Blackhawks, right? Lee, what's up, man? Welcome to WGN.
Hi there.
What's up, Lee?
Well, you know, I just want to tell you how I became a Cubs fan. I used to get so ticked when the Cubs game would come on because my favorite WGN people then wouldn't be on all afternoon. One day I couldn't get to the radio in time to change the station, and Pat and Ron came on. I was so enthralled with their broadcast and the way they broadcast and the passion that Ron Santo had that I never missed a game after that.
See?
So the broadcasters do make a difference.
Yeah, and especially when they're... Yeah, thank you very much
Thanks,
for your input, Lee.
Lee.
I think that's a good point, is that they are sort of, a lot of them are employed by the team, too. So it's definitely in their interest for the team to win and all those sorts of things. But 100%, yes, Pat and Ron were one of the best combos of all time. They were phenomenal. But I think it gives teams personalities. I mean, if you're tuning in every day to Hawk Harrelson, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get passion. I think if you're a play-by-play guy, you better care about the team. Right? Because
I agree.
People listening, if they don't hear it, it's not going to register.
Don't give me the...
Yeah, I'm not saying you have to go out there and cheer like a fan, but you got to get excited.
Don't be bland.
If they're winning.
Don't be 100%. Bland. Don't be bland. 720 WGN. Big week of Bears news.
Bears.
George McCaskey.
Carm, I don't know if you knew this, but Virginia McCaskey's tougher than George Halas.
Did I think that George actually said that?
She's outlived her dad, her mom, her only sibling, her husband, and a son. She's had her share of heartache, but she is a remarkably resilient person. I tell people that she's tougher than her dad was, and those who know her don't disagree.
Wow.
McCaskey was getting a little emotional there.
Well, he's talking about his mom. I get it.
Because remember a couple years ago she said she was pissed at the state of the team?
Yeah, well, George.
And then somebody asked her, that's what how it got brought up. Somebody brought that up, and he said she's not happy. He got a little emotional there.
His team
is horrible. I mean, it really is. We were talking about Verderam earlier, and he says it's one of the worst rosters in football, and it's hard to argue. There's some pieces in place, though, that I think gives you a little bit of hope that there's something to build on, particularly the front seven and defense, in my opinion. I love Eddie Goldman at the zero technique. If he stays healthy, he's a guy that can do some damage. Akeem Hicks looked pretty good this year. Leonard Floyd's got a little excitement there, yeah. Carm. No, not feeling it.
I mean, whatever. He's got multiple concussions. And
can't stay on the field.
He's just undersized. Houston just picked off the Oakland Raiders as Connor Cook is not having the best day in the history of the NFL. It's 27-14 Texans with under 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So it looks like Houston will advance, and that would set them up for a date with the New England Patriots.
Man, they'll lose that game.
Which is not going to happen. Other scores, by the way, today: Indiana beat Illinois in college hoop 96-80. College, and then NFL tonight, Detroit and Seattle.
Seattle's going to win.
Let me get my favorite cut from George about what the fans are telling him.
The Bears fans that I talk to in the parking lots, tailgating, and the seats and so forth, they were telling me, hang in there. It's going to get better. We like your general manager. We like your coach. And like everybody else, they want more wins. They deserve more wins.
It's the saddest cut ever.
George, you hang in there, buddy. Don't you worry about it.
I just seriously envision George McCaskey walking through the tailgating lot, kicking a can around, hands in his pocket, shoulders slouched over. And some Bill Swirsky super fan walking up to him, eating a sausage. Hang in there, George.
George, you're doing
George. We believe in the Pace and the Fox guy.
George. Hey, George, good to see you, buddy. Want a sausage here? Listen, George.
Got a bunch of kielbasa on the grill ski.
George, we're still here, buddy. I don't care if they win three games or four games. I'll be here next year right at this same spot. And by the way,
if that ever even happened. And who was saying that? Which fan that he talked to was saying that?
312-981-7200. If you have a message for the Bears, feel free. We do have open phone lines here for you.
Yeah, since he's getting, he's talking to fans in the lot, this is your chance to give your message to George McCaskey and the Bears organization. What would you like to say to them? If you saw George McCaskey walking through a tailgating lot, would you put your arm around him and tell him you like Ryan Pace and John Fox and that you support what they're doing and you have faith in the team? Well, or would you tell him something else? 312-981-7200.
Ryan Pace thinks they're headed in the right direction.
For us to get better long term, I think of a couple different things. It's developing our talent. And it's developing our culture. And I think we're doing both of those things. So I know this season was hard, and I know there's a lot of lack of patience really around the league. But I believe we're heading in the right direction.
Of course you do, Ryan.
Well, let's think about that. Headed in the right direction. That is a bold statement.
And while Alshon Jeffrey had even a bolder statement, I wonder if we can get McCaskey's thoughts on Alshon Jeffrey's claim that he's guaranteeing a Super Bowl victory next season.
Well,
that's impressive, Alshon Jeffrey. Is he asking for more drug tests, Carm?
That would not be good for Alshon.
Would you bring back Alshon?
Would I bring back Alshon?
I would franchise him one more year. Why not?
Really?
Yeah.
It's a lot of dough. A lot of dough.
Fifth most cap space in football.
I don't think Alshon's coming back.
I don't think so?
I don't.
What's Hoger saying to you?
Hoger doesn't think he's coming back either. Okay. Adam Hoge, by the way, back on the show tomorrow afternoon. We'll be on after Northwestern basketball. Let's play that McCaskey cut on what he liked what Alshon said. It's in the second row, Dan, right in the middle. George McCaskey, he liked what Alshon Jeffrey said. And Alshon Jeffrey, if you missed it, he said after the final Bears game, they're going to win the Super Bowl in 2017.
Can't be the norm. The goal everywhere, every year, is to win the Super Bowl. I think what Alshon said was great. I think he was trying to put his teammates on notice that winning the Super Bowl begins in the off season.
We are on notice,
John Fox.
We are winning the Super Bowl.
You got to see it. You got to see it to believe it, or believe it to see it, or something.
We are on our way It was a I actually, as bad as this season was, I found the games entertaining. Is that weird?
Yeah, if you look back, and I think that was frustrating, seriously, was how bad the coaching was. Because if you look at, they were leading going into the half. They were close going into the half in a lot of the games, and they were blown out in the second half. What's the first thing you think of when you see a team look like a different team in the second half and get blown out?
Well, right.
Coaching and adjustments.
That was coaching and adjustments. That was the biggest issue. Like some games, they...
I mean, even against Green Bay.
They played a great game against the Packers.
Okay. It's third down and goal, and Green Bay burns their... they're out of timeouts,
mm-hmm.
and they throw twice, and mm-hmm. they don't score.
Right.
You run the ball twice and go for the win. I mean, just the everything, the clock management, the play calling. You have Jordan Howard running over people, and they're running five receiver sets on the goal line for Matt Barkley.
So did you watch every game this year?
Yeah.
Live?
Yeah.
So you're like a diehard.
I mean, growing up, I was a diehard Bears fan.
Diehard.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Because I love football.
Right.
Greatest sport ever.
So, okay. The longest drought in the city is the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
By far.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, that the Bears...
Charter franchise has won Super Bowl. Charter franchise has missed the postseason 9 to 10 years.
Right.
Charter franchise is in this... Look what the Steelers do. Look at storied franchises. Look what the Packers do. Look what the Cowboys are doing. The Bears have won Super Bowl.
Listen,
and they're the charter franchise of the NFL.
I could throw out high school sports. We get a ton of calls. I could throw out the Cubs. We'll get calls.
Interest at an all-time low for the Bears. It's never been lower. That's it, folks. Phone lines are open. 312-981-7200.
I mean, that's
get on the air if you'd like and send your message to George McCaskey and the Chicago Bears organization.
I mean, apathy is just strong.
I've never remembered the Bears being this low. Right? In terms of interest. I mean, the Hawks are certainly ahead of them. Cubs, obviously. Bulls, eh.
Bulls are in the... Bulls are in the depths.
There's more interest to the Bears than the Bulls.
I mean, right now, it's a Cub town, it's a Blackhawks town.
The Bulls still sell out every game. It's pretty impressive, actually.
That's because the Dunkin' Donuts race is phenomenal.
Do they still do the Big Mac, or didn't they change that?
They got the Big Mac, score over 100 and win.
Huge.
I mean, I think the Bulls are incredibly irrelevant right now. I think the Bears are
well, because the Bulls are fairly entertaining, but you know they're not going to win a championship. They're not beating Cleveland or Golden State.
And they're not
Toronto or anybody in the East.
I mean, I'm the biggest basketball fan there is. They're not entertaining right now. The Northwestern Wildcats are entertaining.
I think we should all rally behind the Cats. We know the Hawks are going to be fine. They'll be in the postseason. We'll be rooting them on, and hopefully to another Stanley Cup. They certainly have the team to do it. I say this city rallies around NU Sports, Carm. Northwestern Hoops, never made it to the dance. March Madness, this is the year. If the Cubs can break the curse, win the World Series, the Northwestern Wildcats can make the NCAA tournament. Your thoughts?
The city
needs a rally. Let's get Welsh Ryan going. Get behind Mr. Cat. That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Who wants to jump on the Cat
bandwagon?
Scotty
Lindsey, tearing it up. McIntosh making plays. Vic Law, a lot of athleticism there.
Is there any Bears fans out there / Bulls fans out there that's willing to make a statement and say, you know what, I'm going all in out of nowhere into the purple. Let's go Cats, 312-981-7200.
See purple. Rally. Chris Collins, Doug Collins' son. Doug Collins, the greatest Redbird known to man, fear the bird.
Right. Doug Collins is in the stadium basically every night.
Have you met him?
Doug?
Yeah.
I've met Doug, sure.
I need to meet
Doug. You want to meet Doug?
Yes.
You got to come out.
Do you understand how much, like... He is loved at Illinois State. It's Doug Collins Court at Redbird Arena. I'm not sure if you knew that.
I did not.
There's a statue of him outside Redbird Arena.
As there should be.
You've been to Redbird Arena. It's a really good arena. It is. It's a good venue. It is. I'm surprised you haven't been there.
I've never been down to ISU.
It's an underrated stadium.
Okay.
Fear the bird. Bloomington Normal, Central Illinois.
I mean, you go back to that era of time. I think Doug Collins, I think 72 Olympics. I think about the Russians. I think about... Doug Collins making two huge free throws that should have mattered, but didn't in the end. Dougie's there all the time. You know,
classic Russia.
Michael Wilbon is there often. Julie,
yeah, Wilbon. I met Wilbon before.
Wilbon's a good man. Julie Louise Dreyfus, her son.
She goes?
Charlie Hall, her son, is on the team as a walk-on.
Remember Tom Hanks' kid went there, and then he kind of like all crazy and left or something?
I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that happened.
Seth Meyers went to Northwestern. Stephen Colbert went to Northwestern. Dave Bennett went to Northwestern. Did you know that?
Mr. Cat? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Hey, coming on back here.
So clearly the fans are excited about the Chicago Bears. We've garnered zero phone calls on the Chicago Bears. Hey, this is your chance. Give a message to Chicago Bears management organization ownership George McCaskey, who claims he was walking through the tailgating lot and Bears fans came up to him and they said they really like the direction of the team. Hang in there, George. We really like Ryan Pace and John Fox. We're going to be okay. That allegedly happened in the tailgating lot near Soldier Field. A couple fans walking up to the owner, George McCaskey, and telling him it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay, George.
That's why Bears fans are the best.
Can we play the cut one more time? Do we have that cut, Dan Long, just so people know what I'm talking about?
I really, really respect the Bears fans out there in the cold.
If you saw George McCaskey walking through a tailgating lot, you were there sipping on a cold one, eating a sausage, what would you say to George McCaskey?
The Bears fans that I talk to in the parking lots, tailgating and the seats and so forth, they were telling me, hang in there. It's going to get better. We like your general manager. We like your coach. And like everybody else, they want more wins. They deserve more wins.
So when George's head hits the pillow at night.
I don't even know if that happened. I'm not calling him a liar, but.
Oh, I think it happened.
Do you think it happened?
Yeah, because people want.
Like they felt bad or people are just like, those are the meatheads. That was probably like one of the last games of the year. Somebody just battling through, diehard fan, season ticket holder for years.
Out of curiosity.
They want to be friends with George is what I think. And if they're nice, that's what happens. What's up, David?
If it didn't happen, is it something that every NFL team owner should make it their business to do? Stroll through the tailgate lot just to get a feel for what the people who are paying for the seats are thinking.
You're right. I mean, I'm not saying it didn't. It probably did happen, but I think Carm's on the right page. I mean, you see Theo and Jet, they go undercover. They sit out in bleachers and walk the. They're always, if you're ever outside Wrigley Field over on Waveland there, if you hang out a little bit before the game, you'll run into Theo or Jet. I can guarantee you that.
Listen, when Tom Ricketts was walking through Wrigley Field and the Cubs were losing 100 games a year, he was treated like the Messiah.
It's true.
I mean, everybody wanted to get a picture with him. And now it's going to be seven times.
But at least he delivered.
Yeah, no, he did. And now it's going to be seven times that. He's not going to be able to do, well, I mean, maybe he will be, but he'll never see the game. Which is cool. I mean, I love that he does that. That he walks.
I think they should.
You'll see Ricketts up in the 500 level at Wrigley Field. You'll see him down in the boxes.
They know what they're doing.
They do.
People take photos. People post it on social media and say, "Look, the owner's walking amongst the people."
It's a strategic move, but it's a smart move. Hey, the national championship of college football is Monday night. There's a Cubs tie-in to what's going on. So we'll bring that to you wrapping up. Get you ready for Amy's show as well. That's all straight ahead as we wrap it up. 720 WGN. 720 WGN wrapping it up here. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Kevin Powell. Hope you enjoyed at least a moment of the broadcast today. Not looking for everything you didn't enjoy. Have to enjoy the whole thing.
At the Carm, at KPowell720 on the tweeters.
Follow us. Tweet at us. You follow me. I mention you at the Carm. We become friends. So, okay, national championship, Monday night, college football. I kind of want to watch the Bulls and the Thunder, but okay, we got college football. We got Bama, we got Clemson.
Roll Tide.
Do you know the connection, Kevin Powell?
No.
Okay. So.
To what?
There is a connection between one of the two schools to the Chicago Cubs. Now, this was earlier this year, all right?
I don't remember this. You know this.
Yes. It was early in the season. Clemson, Dabo Swinney coming to Wrigley Field in Chicago. He wanted to see a Cub game, okay? So he was asking his assistant coaches, Brent Venables and Marion Hobby. They were here for the draft. So he was here with two of his coaches. They were here for the NFL draft, right? Uh-huh. Swinney asked his agent if he knew anyone who could hook him up with tickets. And so his agent tells him, yeah, well, I know Joe Maddon. Swinney says, who's Joe Maddon? Okay, this is the head coach of Clemson. And the agent's like, he's the manager. And so then I say, Swinney's like, well, that's a pretty good guy to know. So Madden gets Clemson tickets, right? Swinney's going to the Cub game, and there's a rain delay.
Devastation city.
Right? So while Swinney gets invited into the Cubs' new locker room, right?
Huge.
Right? So he walks in there. Swinney says, they got a drum set. They got a disco ball hanging. I'm like, what the heck is this?
I don't remember the drum set.
I never. You've been in the celebration room?
Yeah.
No, I've never been
in there. Weren't you there with me when we toured everything?
No, you weren't. I wasn't on the tour.
I was with the K Decker, I think.
Okay, so they're like, this is the celebration room. Joe likes to celebrate. And I'm like, I like this guy. So Swinney's fallen in love with Madden, right?
How can you not?
So then it goes along. He finds out that John Lester's wife is a Clemson grad.
Huge.
Loves the Cubs clubhouse, the whole thing. So he loves seeing this culture. He loves how the Cubs are loose. He loves, you know, they're a good team. And Clemson, same deal, right? They're coming off being in the national championship. So he comes back to his team. He says this. It kind of resonated with me. That was one of the things I came back and I told the guys day one. Listen, everybody's been telling us we're this target. Well, we are the target. But let's embrace that. Let's be committed to that and embrace it. Let's run right to it.
So
Swinney just channeled in his...
Essentially, Joe Madden could potentially
claim
lead two championships this
right.
calendar year, sport year, whatever.
So if you're looking for a rooting interest and you're a Cub fan and you want to like have a little connection for the national championship game, Dabo Swinney is channeling his inner Joe Madden.
Love it. Swinney's a pretty like energetic... I could see that. Because he's like... He's a player's coach for sure. Right? Isn't that the vibe you get?
Yeah, Saban, sure.
Like the player, Saban's the old school. Like players are walking around and just loosing around, like leaning against the wall. Saban comes near them. They all, you know, pop up, stick their chest out. They don't mess around with Saban. Dude's insane. Read a story about Nick Saban. Guy's driving a bus. Nick Saban's on the bus. Bus driver tries to make small talk with Nick Saban. Nick Saban doesn't mess around. He says, your job is to drive, not talk.
Oh.
Boom. Roasted.
Don't
keep
like.
Keep driving, bus driver. He doesn't mess around.
Don't like that.
Do your job.
Don't like that.
Neither do I.
I've always told my guys, my message has always been, hey, don't lose to Clemson. If we don't lose to Clemson, we've got a chance. This is what Swinney's telling to his players. He doesn't want to, don't beat yourself.
Oh, right.
You know, Joe Madden says, hey, if we just don't suck, we've got a chance to win. So he was just telling his guys, don't suck. Listen to Joe Madden. Be a Cub. And then Clemson can beat Bama. Are you going to watch the game on Monday?
Of course.
Like you're going to...
Intently? Yeah, I'll probably be at my local watering hole. Monday is burger night. They have burger specials.
How much is the burger?
Low. $7.
It's not that... You can get like a dollar burger on a Monday night in the city. Go to an O'Donovan's on an Irving Park.
They do a dollar burger?
Dollar burger.
I know O'Donovan's. Good wings.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of dollar burgers
on
Monday.
Well, this place is like 5 minutes from now.
Okay, but you won't make any plans on Monday night because you're going to watch the national championship
100%.
Game?
100%. Of course. It's college football.
I'll bet you Amy Guth's available on Monday night. I bet she's not planning.
If anybody's watching college football Monday night, it's Amy Guth, no question. Maybe she can break down this Clemson-Alabama game. Right? She just gave me a look like she wants to rip my face off.
How many players could you name on Bama?
At Bama, a little bit more. You got your Reuben Foster on defense. Got your Jonathan Allen on defense.
I could name Jonathan Allen. And what's the quarterback's name?
Hurts.
I thought there was a...
Jalen Hurts.
It's not the guy I was thinking of. Get Dave Ennett on the line. He can break down Bama for me. Hi, Amy. How are you?
Hello. How's it going?
You've been prepping all afternoon, haven't you? You're just like a hard... You were here for the business lunch.
I felt bad I interrupted it earlier. I was looking for a cup, and I opened the door, and you were like zoned in. And I felt bad because I felt like I interrupted your vibes. Did
it's
I do
okay.
that?
You did, but I got him back. It's
you
okay.
Look, you seemed kind of angry. Sorry about that.
I wasn't angry at all.
Oh,
I was just very focused, and I have my eyebrows down when I'm very focused.
you had. I walked into the studio today. There was a. What would you call one of those things?
A water bottle.
Right, a water bottle. Yep. There was a water bottle, but it had this green little tint to it.
Green slime.
It wasn't. It was the water in the water bottle, which was a blue water bottle, but there was a green tint. And I said, "Amy, what's in this water
I'm sure
bottle?"
This is fascinating.
It is. It is to me though. You said what?
I add a couple of drops of chlorophyll to my water every couple of weeks or so.
Chlorophyll, Powell.
It helps your immune system. And this time of year, you know, everybody's got the sniffles. So I got the sniffles
right now.
I have a lot to do, especially in the week ahead. So when I have a busy week coming, I have a little extra vitamin and supplement so that I can power through and not get derailed.
You know, it's got a lot of vitamins in it. Prime rib from Elwood's. We've been debating all night on if I should go to Elwood's and get the King Cut Saturday night special Elwood's prime rib situation. Your vote? Yes or no?
Do it. Yeah, do it.
It's $33 for the cut. Can I borrow like $40?
You're barking up the wrong tree.
I promise I'll pay you back.
Kevin, spend
blood
money.
Blood from turnips, my friend.
There's no better person to spend money on than spending it on yourself. Unless you're a good person and you have people that you love and you want to do that thing. Amy, what's on the show tonight? What do we got?
We're talking about beauty standards because, you know, it's a complicated topic. We think of beauty as being such a positive, but it's complicated and there's a lot to it. There's the industry, which is a multi-billion dollar industry. It's advertising messages, which are, you know, internalized by young people that are looking at them. There's the Photoshop issue. There's a lot to it. France has just made it, not just, but within the last couple of years, has made it mandatory to label ads that have been Photoshopped so that people don't, you know, hold themselves to those kind of standards. But there's a lot to that, and technology plays a role. And there's a lot of nuance to that topic. So we're going to be talking about that tonight. And we have a bunch of guests that are doing really fascinating work in that area. So we're going to get to it.
Before we head out, your pick, Alabama or Clemson Monday night?
I'm taking Clemson all down.
I was asking Amy.
I was going to say, I think he was speaking to me.
Yeah, I was talking to Amy.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Calm down over there.
I'm kind of, my hunch is Clemson.
Whoa. Upset special, folks. Amy Guth had it here first. Clemson over Bama Monday night.
Marcus,
six-point underdog.